will be fun.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
You know why I put you over?
No. Why did you pull me over?
Because I just want to say hi.
Yeah, it's another Manic Monday for you on K-Rock. Anyway, I'm Rodney, and here's this a band.
Again. I laugh at you. I go home at night, and I laugh at you.
See, you shaking. It kind of makes me nervous.
It's cold outside.
Hey, that's cold?
Yeah.
What's this right here?
That's my penis.
That's your penis. All right. Sorry about that.
All right.
Sorry about that.
I'm going to get you drunk. Get you drunk off my lady hump. My hump. My hump. My lovely lady hump.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
And now,
Showtime, boys, is what it's all about. Forum for the people.
Our feature presentation.
That's what it's all about already. Good morning, party people. It is Monday, and it is the 12th of the January. I said the 12th of the January.
It's just a vagina.
There we go. Good morning. How is everybody?
E-A-G-L-E-S Eagles!
What are they calling it?
Ask me how I am. How am I doing?
Destiny? Is that what they're calling it, Ralph?
No, they're calling it playing with the house money. Playing on borrowed time. That's what they're calling it. The greatest postseason ever because no one who's an Eagles fan thought we'd be celebrating today.
It's all bonus.
Or
it's all bonus
week,
time.
Or the week before. So,
it's all a piece of cake with extra frosting.
It
right
really
now.
Is. It's just it's the greatest postseason ever. No expectations. Just spectacular.
Unbelievable.
From 5-5-1, where everyone just buried them, to the final four. You just can't. Wrap your head around it if you're an Eagles.
We are going to take your calls on an extraordinary weekend of NFL football. We're 3 out of the 4 favorites lost, and we're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067 on any other topic. If you have anything you want to discuss from the weekend, the Monday edition of What It Do Nephew is on the air in about a minute. So, first NFL game in history, Ralph, to ever end 23-11. Did you know that?
Yes, I did know that.
How crazy is that?
How happy were you that happened so you could take that little nugget and just have it and just live with it and roll around in it like a pig in slop?
I'm just excited.
It involves numbers, and it's once in a lifetime.
Aww. I'm excited when things happen for the first time. That's
you
all.
Must have exploded in your pants after you heard that little nugget of information.
It was a very exciting game. And talk about, it's funny, Lisa, I know you didn't watch, but it was until the fourth quarter. I mean, the lead had changed, what, 6 times, Ralph?
I believe
something
it was
like
six
that?
Times.
Oh,
yeah.
My.
Yeah.
And it couldn't have been any closer. It was
team
a 3-point game.
Team up by one, team
point.
Up by two, team up by one, then three, then two.
That's nerve wracking.
It was hellish, and then it just blew up.
It was unbelievable. And then they blew it. And then they blew it open in the fourth quarter. You could finally exhale a little bit. But very exciting football.
I don't like it exciting. I want it relaxing.
Yeah.
I want it to be 72-0 in the first quarter, so I can just kick back and sip my beer and laugh. But I couldn't do that
there
yesterday.
Has there ever been an all-Pennsylvania Super Bowl?
I don't think that's ever happened, no. Because seeing that the Eagles have only been there twice in the Super Bowl era, it was Oakland the first time, and then, of course, the Patriots the 3 years ago, whenever that was. So,
that's right.
Yeah, no, there's never been an all-Pennsylvania Super Bowl. And
they got to be going crazy back home.
I'm thinking Fox is probably voting against that.
Yes.
I'm thinking they're probably hoping that won't happen so that they don't get a viewership of 8.
It's a shame that Kevin isn't here today. He's out sick. And by the way, I wanted to say for the record that I am enjoying this new rotating day off schedule here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And I'm looking forward to taking my day off sick next week.
Oh, you missed it. It was just the time's up. Today's the last day. Yeah.
Yeah, yours was Thursday. I think,
was supposed to apply.
Mine was Thursday. Yeah, you had to send in a coupon, and then there was like 4 box tops from Special K or something, and you had to answer a riddle, and then you got your day off.
It is a shame that he's not here, though, because his mighty Arizona Cardinals shocked the world with their win over the weekend.
All of a sudden, last night in the emails, he was very, very, he was wearing the Cardinal red. All of a sudden, he was just Mr. Cardinals, guy who just couldn't care less about the team from his hometown for 20 years. Now, all of a sudden, is just couldn't be more of a booster, which I found humorous.
You have to get on board somewhere. I mean, unless you're born a fan, you have to be a new fan at some point. And you got to let people in. Otherwise, all the fans of a club will die, Ralph.
I understand that, but dude was born in Arizona, right?
Yes, but they didn't have a team, remember?
Yeah, but they've had one for 20 years now.
Yes.
Okay? You really, really, do you wait until they get to the championship game before you get on board? Is that when you decide you're going to start rooting for that team? Are you that guy, really? Are you that guy?
He put money on him at the start of this season to go to the Super Bowl, if you recall.
Only because he thought it would be enormously long odds and he might be able to make some money on it.
He was trying to make a joke. Yeah. We were here when he put that bet. Why
like
what
I bet on the Raiders that year.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah.
This exact same bet. Okay. Well, maybe you're right about that. Maybe he does. Maybe he doesn't
Mike,
have the right
who,
to crow.
In my opinion, is a horrible, horrible fan because he's a Dallas Cowboys fan. And to my knowledge, he has never, ever seen the Dallas Cowboys play football.
No.
As far as I know. He's never watched a game.
No.
Is more of a fan than Kevin is. Because at least Mike's been talking at least for a couple of years. You know.
Exactly right. You got to earn your stripes
exactly,
is what you're saying.
Yeah.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. It's a toll-free number. We do have a couple of lines open right now. If you want to give us a call, for Kevin and Beans, What It Do, Nephew.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, what it do, what it do.
What it do, nephew.
What it do.
What it do, nephew.
Apparently, Monster Jam is coming to Angel Stadium on Saturday, January the 24th, brought to you by Advance Auto Parts and Ford Trucks. Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com, and that's what you get. Speaking of the Arizona
Monster
Cardinals.
Monster Jam.
I rented Monster Jam. Totally different.
You did.
Not the new trucks.
Sounds ugly. Paul has actually called about the Cardinals, and he's on the phone on line one from Lake Forest. Good morning, Paul. What it do?
Hey, what it do, Kevin and Bean, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Ralph.
Yes, sir.
I am a real Arizona Cardinals fan.
God bless you.
1988.
Congratulations.
Well, I am willing to put a tattoo on the line.
A tattoo?
I will get a tattoo of the Philadelphia Eagles crappy, girly little logo.
Mm-hmm.
And
as opposed to that manly red Cardinal head you guys wear?
Real men wear red. You know that.
Uh-huh.
What are you willing to wager that, buddy?
You're going
to
get a tattoo of the Eagles logo if the Eagles beat Arizona.
Yeah. They will not do, so I'm not worried about that.
So what do you want in return is what you're asking in terms of that wager. I don't know. You put me on the spot here. I can't think of anything. What do you have in mind? Anything?
Would you be willing to get a Cardinal tattoo?
No. That's not going to happen. No.
Yeah. Ralph's not really
that
willing
stupid
to get anything
that stupid?
Tattooed.
That's why
I'm not a tattoo guy in any way. Yeah, I wouldn't get tattooed. I wouldn't get the Batman logo tattooed on me, and that's saying something.
How about you have to shut up about the Eagles for the rest of this calendar year? You cannot say the word Eagles once.
Ooh, even the beginning of next season, huh?
Exactly.
Wow. All right, I think I can take that. I think I can deal with that.
And, I mean, there have to be repercussions. Every time you do mention the E word or any form of the coach, players, anything to do with it, I think monetary deposit should be made into my account.
Okay.
Oh, I see.
Fair enough.
Interesting.
That's interesting.
I like
that.
But I'm a man of my word, so if that happens, I will not speak of the Eagles throughout the year of 2009. But that sounds like a fair bet to me.
All right. I'll tell you what we're going to do, Paul. You hang on for your prize, and also a Dave the King of Mexico will pick up and get your information, and we can, you know, we'll work out the specific details so we have it all down in writing so everybody knows exactly what's expected, okay?
You got it.
All right, man. Thank
congratulations,
you
Paul, by
so
the way.
Card. So card.
Congratulations. I like the Cardinals. I think, you know, I like Wisenhunt as a coach, and it's great to see Kurt Warner doing so well again, and Edge James is running well, and Fitzgerald, I think, is the best wide receiver in the game. It's just they got a real talented team.
Talk about
a team
that's
surprising.
Peaking at the right time.
Yeah,
exactly.
They are hot.
Exactly, yeah. I am always excited when new teams make the playoffs. As much as I didn't care about the Tampa Bay Rays last year in the World Series, it's nice to see some new faces. You know what I mean? It's nice to spread the wealth around a little
especially
bit.
Especially a long-suffering team like Arizona, which has just been so bad for so long.
Exactly.
I just feel for their fans, and it's good for those guys to enjoy some success.
Let's talk to Frank and Pico Rivera. Yeah, you've been rooting for him hard up until now, and no more.
Enjoying their success until now, yes.
Until now. Frank, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What it do?
What it do? I want to thank Mike for the great parking advice on the Kings game last Saturday night.
Oh.
Saved my, I paid $7. I don't want to give up the secret where it's at because then all the morons are going to be parking there now, but thanks, Mike.
No problem, dude.
If you can pay $7 for parking anywhere in Los Angeles, that's a good deal.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Let alone a Staples Center event.
And now, I didn't have to walk far.
Why is somebody who parks there today a moron for parking there, and you're smart for parking there over the weekend?
Because now if I go to the Staples Center again, they're going to raise up the price because now everybody's going to know where it's at.
It's like a secret fishing spot. You just got to always keep bums the word about it.
Plus, you don't want the lot to get full, so when you get down there, you don't have a space.
Exactly.
Yeah. Didn't you tell him that on the air?
I did.
But he was really secret.
Just checking.
You know, typically, not very many people listen when I talk, so he decided to weed out the nugget of gold.
All right.
Weed out the nugget of gold. Yeah.
I know I'm taking over for Kevin.
I know Kevin's gone, but you don't really need to replace him in every way.
That's quite a metaphor. All right, let's continue with the trifecta of sports calls today. Chewy is in Long Beach. He's on line two on the Kevin Amin Show. Hey, Chew, good morning. What to do?
Hey, guys.
Chew.
What's up, Chew?
Hey, good morning. Hey, I want to talk real quick about the Lakers.
Yes.
Lakers!
Yeah, Lakers, yeah, they won last night. That's all cool and everything. But you know what? They got some hot cheerleaders this year. Did they change it up or something?
Wait, wait, hold on. Time out. You saying there's a Laker girl that's hot? Stop the presses.
That's what I'm saying. You know, this year it looks like they got a new crop of chicks, a little more cleavage is coming out, a little more butt cheeks hanging out. They're looking kind of good this year.
Mike, I know you've been following the Lakers and their cheerleading squad for many, many years. Is there anything to what Chewy's saying? Has there been an upgrade this season?
Well, there's a high turnover rate. They're constantly changing. It seems like every season they have almost half the girls are brand new. Mm-hmm. And I've always found most of them to be pretty attractive. I will say, I think Chewy, the thing is they've changed the outfits this year and they are a little sluttier.
They are a little more sweaty. That's yeah. The key word. That is hot.
The velour, like, bikinis that they have, they're like black bikinis with, like, purple outline and sequins. Those are maybe the trampiest outfits the Laker girls have ever had. They're pretty nice.
Good times. By the way, I'm going to miss college football for the USC cheerleaders.
Yeah.
They were fantastic this year.
They're always a sporty bunch, but they Absolutely. Were spectacular this year.
Yeah, USC and Arizona State tend to have the creme de la creme of Poontang.
And they all look like they're about 28, too, for some reason. They're all just,
just weird.
Mature and just sexual and just made up. They look just like big old broads.
They've had the lion's share of those offensive linemen that'll put a couple miles on your face.
Oh, how dare you.
First, there's also no danger of them graduating anytime soon, so I guess they just stay in school as long as they have to. Yeah. All right, big show today, really big show today. In fact, speaking of sports, an actual sporting event on the program today. I don't know that I was involved in a lot of the discussions about the X-Arm competition, but what is this all about, you guys? How does this work?
X-Arm is the next stage of mixed martial arts, I guess, by mixing together punching in the face and arm wrestling.
It's really quite interesting to watch.
If you're not into it, you haven't seen the footage yet. We're watching it in the office, and it's two dudes who get up to the podium as if they're going to arm wrestle, and then they tape their wrists together so that they can't separate any time, and then you do try to pin the other guy's arm down the way you would in a normal arm wrestling event, but at the same time, you're also allowed to punch the guy in the face and kick him while you're trying to pin him down.
That's amazing. It sounds like Sylvester Stallone has to make another movie now.
Yeah, I think he does.
That's great.
They're also... Both contestants are chained to the table, too, at the waist.
Right, so you can't run away from it.
Yeah, I mean, it's really very brutal. I mean, it's really close quarters, ass-whooping. I mean, it's nonstop punching and kicking.
And the guy that loses gets 4,000 volts of electricity shot through his testicles, which I think is really the creme de la creme when it comes to gambling and sports.
Well, the founder of the league is going to be joining us today, plus one of the X-Arm hotties is going to be here, too. And I think there needs to be some sort of demonstration in the K-Rock studio for the website. I think we have to do that.
Blinky.
Also, get an update on everything in the world of celebrities with our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. We've got, a bunch of other stuff that we can't tell you about, but one that I will in the 8 o'clock hour. Did anyone see the Megan Fox interview on the red carpet yesterday?
I didn't watch any of the Golden Globes red carpet coverage. I just watched the event.
She said something that was so infuriating.
What?
That we must discuss today.
You're upset with Megan Fox?
I'm going to tell you that. Shut up, Megan Fox.
Wow.
Shut up, Megan Fox is what I'm going to say.
How dare you, sir?
That'll be coming up at 8 o'clock. And speaking of the Golden Globes last night, Ralph has a recap of the big winners and all the showbiz news first thing this Monday morning when we return right after this on the World Famous K-Rock. I'd like to point out for the record, by the way, that I actually wrote that song and then they ripped me off. Yes, that's what happened. It was my song.
I thought it was Joe Satriani and that other guy.
And all those other people who claim they wrote it. 5:53 on the Kevin Amin Show Monday morning. Ralph is here with our first look at the showbiz beat for a brand new week. Lots to talk about today, Ralph. What's going on?
As we do every Monday, let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Surprising number one this weekend. Surprising in the sense that it doesn't star a golden retriever. or isn't about some whore getting married and her best friend wants to marry her brother or some freaking thing. It's actually a good movie, and number one over the weekend, Gran Torino.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Number one over the weekend, as it, of course, was in theaters previously, but it just was released in wide release, as they say, over the weekend. Made $29 million, made it number one at the box office this weekend.
I heard this was Clint Eastwood's best ever opening, which I found so shocking when you consider the career that man's had.
Bigger than Any Which Way But Loose? Starred Clint and an orangutan? I love find that hard movie. To believe. How can you love that movie?
Because I used to watch it as a kid. It was one of the... I grew up in an era where like VHS was like really impressive if you had a VCR. And stuff. So right. I only had like two tapes. And one of them Condor was Man in that movie.
Any Which Way But Loose? Yeah. No wonder you're the way you are. Bride Wars was number two at the box office, made $21.5 million. Women went in droves to see Kate Hudson.
Way to go, Lisa.
Kate Hudson
and Anne Hathaway beat up on each other.
And don't get me wrong, it's not good. But women actually
here's a butt. Here's Lisa's butt.
No, I'm just telling you, women actually applauded at the end of the movie.
Because it was
see?
Over?
See how they are? That's why you're all bad.
It wasn't as bad as I thought it would be, but it's not good.
The Unborn was number three, starring our good friend Odette Justin. Marley and Me was number four over the weekend. Curious Case of Benjamin Button was number five. Bedtime Stories, Valkyrie, Yes Man, Not Easily Broken, and 7 Pounds, rounding out your top ten. What's Not Easily Broken, by the way?
That's a black drama, African-American
right.
Drama.
Sure, okay. Speaking of movies, last night, the Golden Globes handed out its Golden Globes to the stars of movies and television. That's why it's the best award show. In terms of star watching, because you get everybody in one room. You get all the biggest TV stars and all the biggest movie stars in one room. And
they drink.
And they drink, which loosens them up a tad. There's a lot of awards they give out at this ceremony, so I won't be able to get through all of them. But some of the highlights. Mickey Rourke was the surprise winner for Best Actor in a Drama Movie for his role in The Wrestler. Caught a lot of people by surprise. I mean, he's been getting a lot of buzz for that performance, but he was up against some stiff competition, including Leonardo DiCaprio.
I just, I thought for a moment as I saw the rousing round of applause he got as he walked over the stages that half the people in that room probably would not have returned his phone call until a month ago.
Absolutely.
And they are applauding as if they're excited that he won when they wouldn't even give him the job.
Well, Hollywood loves a comeback, but nobody wants to take the responsibility of helping someone come back.
Yeah,
you know
after you've come back, they love you.
That's when they love you, yeah. I saw the film a while ago, and he does give an amazing performance in that. But I thought it was funny. He said himself that the director, Darren Aronofsky, had to fight and fight and fight to get him the role because no one wanted him in the movie.
Yeah.
His name was synonymous with box office death. So, Kate Winslet had a pretty good night for herself.
Whore!
How dare you? She looked amazing
last
night.
Yeah.
Sure did.
But she won for Best Actress in a Drama for her role in Revolutionary Road and Best Supporting Actress in a Drama for her work in The Reader. So, two Golden Globes there on Kate Winslet.
I'll say two Golden Globes.
Colin Farrell won for Best Actor in a Musical or Comedy in the Feature Film Division for In Bruges. And some broad named Sally Hawkins in a movie I've never heard of called Happy Go Lucky won for Best Actress.
But boy, was she overwhelmed.
Boy, did she think that we knew who she was. Because she was up there crying and telling stories and as if we're all hanging on to hear. Oh, I can't wait to hear what Sally Hawkins says in her speech. And everyone was looking at each other like, who's this girl? What is she doing
up
there?
Was she in Happy Go Lucky? Is that what
Yeah,
she
Happy Go Lucky is the name of the film. Yeah. In terms of TV, Mad Men won for Best Television Series Drama. Best Miniseries was John Adams. The night was filled with projects that Kevin will never watch.
So. I was thinking the exact same thing. It's too bad he's not here today for another round of, hey, why won't you watch Mad Men or John Adams?
The only BS award of the evening, in my opinion, was Best Actor in a Television Series Drama went to Gabriel Byrne for In Treatment. Come on! You got Hugh Laurie there for House. You got my buddy John Hamm for Mad Men. You got a bunch of great, great actors and things that people actually watched. Golden Globes, ooh, you foreigners and your press.
Let's remember there's only 90 old guys who vote for this. 90.
Yeah,
that's it.
It is crazy. And Best Motion Picture Drama?
Yes.
Went to?
And the Golden Globe goes to? Slumdog Millionaire.
Yeah, how about that? Bunch of Indians playing Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. All righty then. And Vicky Cristina Barcelona won for Best Motion Picture Musical or Comedy. So good night for Woody Allen as well. A lot of relationship news with the celebrities.
Mm-hmm. Sweet.
Apparently, as predicted, Black Eyed Peas singer Fergie and Josh Duhamel did get married over the weekend. Happened in Malibu, California. And quite the invite list was there at the event. Kid Rock showed up. Of course, if you open a bottle of beer in Malibu, California, I think Kid Rock will somehow find his way to
enjoy. Man, away.
Yeah. Slash was there, inexplicably.
Mm-hmm.
Kate Hudson showed up. Mario Lopez, Stacey Keibler, Rebecca Romijn, and Jerry O'Connell. They were all there on Saturday to wish them well. And Fergie apparently held her water during the ceremony. That's excellent news.
They seem like a reasonable couple who are adults.
That is quite the compliment. You two are a reasonable couple. Did you go through the greeting line at the end of the ceremony to tell them that?
What I mean is, a lot of couples, they get together and it seems like it's kind of on a whim and it's kind of a weird relationship. They seem like they're pretty good for each other. They've been dating a long time now, and it makes sense that they got married. I wish them the best.
Yes. Oh, Fergie, you looked so reasonable in that dress. You're just stunning. Today's celebrity birthdays, Kirstie Alley. Fat. She's 58 years old today. My friend Rush Limbaugh turns 58 as well.
Fat as well.
Fat as well. It's a big fat day in birthdays. Yeah. Oliver Platt, the actor.
Oh,
very
my.
Fat. He is 49 years old today. Oh, then Zach comes and ruins it. Zach De La Roca of Rage Against the Machine turns 39.
Not fat.
Not fat at all. Heather Mills, Paul McCartney's old wife.
Son's fat.
Son's leg, too. She's 41. And Rob Zombie, singer and filmmaker, is 43. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
World famous K-Rock, 106.7 KRQ. The band is called Far. I could be wrong. I'm not going to swear by this, but I don't think he's actually talking about riding a pony in that song.
Yes, he is.
I think there may be a euphemism in effect.
He was raised on a Shetland pony farm.
Oh, really?
You don't know, man.
It says right in there, your saddle is waiting. What else has a saddle?
I'm just saying. It sounds to me like... All right, so last night were the 66th Annual Golden Globe Awards, and as Ralph mentioned a few minutes ago, it's a party because you got more stars than you'll ever find in the world in one room at one time. You could destroy Hollywood with a properly placed nuke right there.
Thanks. Thanks for giving the terrorists that idea.
And there were some highlights. It was actually a very loose and entertaining show. It's interesting because the Golden Globes doesn't have a host. I'd love to see a guy like Ricky Gervais hosting any show, you know, for instance. I think it would be funnier.
Yeah, if you can get Ricky Gervais, but usually you can, and you end up with, you know, Ryan Seacrest or something.
That's an excellent point. Look what happened to the Emmys, right? I thought the funniest speech of the night was Tracy Morgan accepting for 30 Rock, which won Best Comedy on TV. And I have to ask you guys what your opinion is. Is he a brilliant comedian and he's playing the character of Tracy Morgan, or is this guy really this crazy all the time?
I think he's both.
I think he's crazy.
I think he's very creative and very crazy.
I think he's just 100% crazy.
He sounds exactly like the character that he plays on the 30 Rock TV show. Here's Tracy Morgan from last night's Golden Globes.
Tina Fey and I had an agreement that if Barack Obama won, I would speak for the show from now on. Welcome to post-racial America. I'm the face of post-racial America. Deal with it, Cate Blanchett. We like to thank the Hollywood Foreign Press, especially me, because a black man can't get no love at the Emmys.
Uh-huh.
I love you, Europe.
Okay, so that's what Tracy Morgan's all about. Then Tina Fey also won for Best Actress in a Comedy for the same show, 30 Rock. She was pretty funny.
Oh, my, thank you. I want to say thank you to the Hollywood Foreign Press. I've always loved the Hollywood Foreign Press. As a kid, I had all the Hollywood Foreign Press action figures. thank you, Will Arnett, for that joke.
She went on to specifically name haters on the internet of her and her show, by the way, in her acceptance speech, which was very funny. It was good to see our friend Bruno / Borat / Sacha Baron Cohen, the great Ali G. He was there last night. Very funny, as always.
This was the best. This chilled the room. This was a weird set he did up there.
It did seem like people weren't in the mood to have other people make fun of, that's for sure.
It is said in times of economic hardship that people flock to the cinemas to watch mindless, puerile, escapist nonsense, which is great news because I've got a movie coming out. But this recession is affecting everyone, even celebrities. Victoria Beckham hasn't eaten for 3 weeks. Charlie Sheen has been forced to have sex without paying for it.
By the way, yeah, you're hearing some laughing, yeah. But please note in the crowd, you're also hearing, oh.
Good laugh, the first joke. Oh, we love, you know, we love weight loss jokes. We love people are too thin jokes. Then the more Charlie Sheen paying for prostitutes, some laughter, a little more uncomfortable.
And then.
It's true. And even Madonna has had to get rid of one of her personal assistants. Our thoughts go out to you, Guy Ritchie.
Yeah,
that's
a great joke.
It was awesome.
I don't want to laugh. Colin Farrell was a presenter on the show last night. This happened before he actually ended up winning for In Bruges, which, by the way, Ralph, I knew you were an early champion of that movie.
Yes.
And you were right. It was one of the best films of the year last year. And I honestly believe had it had a more accessible title, I think that movie would have been a much, much bigger hit. But I think a lot of people were turned off by In Bruges. What the hell is that?
I think a lot of people thought it was a foreign film made in Holland or something, or Belgium.
It was great, and you ought to rent it if you haven't seen it yet. But Colin Farrell did win a Best Actor award last night, which is, you know, it's quite a comeback for him. You know, there's a guy who was in trouble, you know, personally a couple of years ago. But he had a very funny line kind of referencing his own past when he, earlier in the evening, was presenting an award and got a little bit of the sniffles.
And the Golden Globe goes to... I still have a cold. It's not the other thing it used to be.
Which I love that he poked fun at himself. You mentioned, Ralph, that Mickey Rourke won for The Wrestler last night. A little bit of a big comeback story. He did something I don't think I've ever seen on an awards show and may never have happened on an awards show in an acceptance speech. We'll get to that in a moment.
Wow. This has been a very long road back for me, and I'm not a really good public speaker. I was kind of hoping Robert Downey would come up here and talk for me a little bit. Well, I'd like to thank all my dogs.
He thanked his dogs. Sure did. Acceptance speech.
Yep. Sure loved those dogs.
Huh. Has that ever happened?
Not to my knowledge.
And he had an explanation as to why.
The ones that are here, the ones that aren't here anymore, because sometimes when a man's alone, that's all you got is your dog. And they meant the world to me. And I want to thank Bruce Springsteen.
Now, how do you think the boss feels about being named after the dog?
Yeah, once the music comes up, they're rushing him off the stage. Oh, yeah, and Bruce Springsteen is saying that. Let's talk about the dogs. And he's one of those mic people, too. He's got the little rat dogs. That's the kind of dogs he carries around with him.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a fan of the Chihuahua. That's what happens, dude. You don't want to, but they just become so important to you.
Shut up.
Well, because you can always eat them if things get really tough and you got no food. Couple more clips from last night's Golden Globe Awards. Obviously, Kate Winslet, the big winner of the night. You know, she, to my knowledge, had never won a Golden Globe before and has still never won an Oscar despite being nominated for 5 of each. She's had an unbelievable career. She clearly is one of the best actresses in the world, and last night it finally paid off. She first won the Supporting Actress Award, and that was for her performance in The Reader.
Okay. You have to forgive me because I have a habit of not winning things, so...
So she addressed that, and she sounded like, you know, she was fine. She was able to hold it together, but then near the end of the night when she won the Best Actress for Revolutionary Road, she just fell apart.
Okay. I'm so sorry, Anne, Meryl, Kristen... Oh, God, who's the other one? Oh, Angelina, I'm so... This is... Okay, now, forgive me. Gather. Is this really happening? Okay, I'm going to try and do this on the cuff. Okay. Thank you so much.
I could close my eyes and with some imagination, that could be very, very hot, by the way.
Especially
with
her mentioning Angelina. Breathy like that. It works for me.
No kidding. And finally, we got time for one more. It was obviously a very emotional moment. It was not unexpected, certainly, but when the late Heath Ledger won his award for Best Supporting Actor for the Batman movie, a lot of people thought, hey, how's that going to go? What's it going to be like? Of course, a standing ovation was had. And obviously, I feel bad for Heath because he's gone, but I also feel bad because I hope there aren't people out there who say, well, he only won because he died. Because I honestly believe that was the role that would have won him this award and probably an Oscar, too, had he lived.
Don't you guys agree?
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, it's one of the most astonishing performances that you certainly have seen in the movies in a long time. Well, his director for Batman, Chris Nolan, is the one who stood up to accept the award.
All of us who work with Heath on The Dark Knight accept this with an awful mixture of sadness but incredible pride. For any of us lucky enough to work with him, I think for any of us lucky enough to have enjoyed his performances, he will be eternally missed, but he will never be forgotten. Thank you.
It was a nice moment.
Yeah.
They didn't do an in memoriam at the Golden Globes last night, isn't it? I thought that was one of the things they did. I was so sad because, you know, I love dead people.
I know you do. I know you love death. I don't remember that being part of the Golden Globes. I know they do it at the Oscars and Emmys every year, but I don't remember them doing it at the Golden Globes.
It's not a party for me until lots of people die. But
yeah. Other people feel differently, perhaps.
And Slumdog Millionaire, of course, the big winner of the night with four awards, a movie that I still have not seen, but certainly will. And I'm cursing you all for not telling me how hot Frida Pinto was, who was one of the actresses in that movie who was on stage last night. Unbelievably hot. Why did I not know that?
She is hot. But you're not going to start saying she's the hottest girl in movies now, are you? Like you did with freaking Maria Menounos from television?
Well, she's the hottest chick on TV, but I'm just saying I could have started stalking Frida Pinto months ago if somebody would have told me how unbelievably hot she is.
Yeah, so you'd have to go to Mumbai.
please do.
Kevin and John came around. Kevin and Bean, Afroline is on the air at 323-520-AFRO. This is a 24-hour-a-day answering machine. By the way, a lot of people don't know, here's some K&B trivia for you. Afroline? Named by Jimmy Kimmel.
That's right.
He came up with the Afro line.
He loves everything black.
All these years later, it's still up and running. You can call anytime, leave a message. Here's a question for you guys. I don't know the answer to this, but a listener has an inquiry for us.
Hi, I wanted to ask what happened to the rat tail. Thanks.
Oh. What's going on with the King of Mexico and his rat tail?
I still have the rat tail. I still have it. It's still like 1/4 inch long.
as of Friday, he was ready to get rid of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know what happened over the weekend.
Is it just bothering him the way it's hanging down his back?
I didn't ask. I said, Dave, it's just getting to the point where it's starting to look good.
It's getting to the point where we can see it.
Or it's actually a rat tail.
It's almost an inch long now. It's just way too long. Keeps getting caught in revolving doors.
I do sometimes see little kids whose parents have allowed them to grow a rat tail, and I always think how stupid it looks.
Oh, yeah.
But I've never seen it on an adult. I don't know of a single adult who's got a rat tail.
I thought the same thing about pigtails till Weenie Roast this year.
Yeah.
Hey,
you're sporting those.
K-Rock's Kevin is not here today, but last week he was obsessed with the brand new song from the Plain White Tees that he thought was one of the worst songs ever. Here's a little bit of what it sounds like.
It's easy as 1, 2, 1, 2, there's only one thing to do, 3 words for you, I love you.
It's pretty catchy, that's for sure, and that's what this Afro call is about.
Jeez, the Plain White Tees. 1, 2, 3, 4. I don't know how to score, so I'll write the song so you can like me.
Oh, see what you did there? Burn!
Another call on the same topic.
Kevin, Steve, I just heard the Plain White Tees song, 1, 2, 3, 4, playing from someone's car. I want to go punch the guy in the face to get the car and realize it's Omar and Psycho Mike making out.
Yeah. Congratulations, you guys.
It is a sweet song.
If the Play White Tees song is one of the worst, I think we all know that a call that was left on the Afro line last week was one of the best.
Let me see the Tootsie Roll. Come on, the Tootsie Roll. Mm-hmm. That's like a Tootsie Roll.
Yeah.
Tootsie Roll.
Okay, that's our friend Dwan calling the 69 Boys Tootsie Roll, and that's what this Afro caller is referencing.
Dwan rocks. I think Dwan should do a duet with Doto. Like maybe some Whitesnake, Poison, you know. Something good, man. I would buy it.
Gotta get Dwan in here in the studio. That's all there is to it. We had some tape from the Oprah Winfrey Show last week. I don't know if she's had a stroke or a brain tumor or what, but she tends to repeat everything. I say she tends to repeat everything that she says over and over and over again, and that's what this call is referencing.
Hi, Kevin and Bean. Hi, Kevin and Bean. I thought I would just call, and say hi. Have a great day.
Sounds like an echo.
It does.
It does. Got a movie review left for us.
All right, so check it. I just saw Gran Torino, and after I saw it, I literally in my pants.
All right, then.
Is that good?
Fantastic. Why is he telling us that?
Best reaction I've ever heard to a movie.
There's no such thing as a Kevin Bean curse. There's no such thing as a jinx, but you can't tell that to this listener.
Kevin
I think your jinx is still in effect. You guys talked about Patrick Swayze the other day and his battle with pancreatic cancer, and now he checked in the hospital with pneumonia. Good job, guys.
I just think if a guy has had pancreatic cancer for a year, somehow it's not our fault if he ends up in the hospital. I think it's kind of expected a little bit.
Plus, if we're talking about his pancreatic cancer and he goes in for pneumonia, no, uh-uh. No, I'm sorry.
And I don't think the curse extends to talking about people. That's I think you guys have to actually talk
to
them.
Interview them.
But if we talk to, like, the Jiggy, J.S. Shiger from the Ducks, right, and he loses that night in a hockey game, then I could see something. But if his wife leaves him the next day, no. There's right no connection there. You can't blame everything that happened in someone's life on us.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's a good point. Well, we do have another Patrick Swayze call, a very, very sensitive caller who wishes Mr. Swayze nothing but the best.
I know you guys have your interest in the death pool, but I want to add my name into the hat and say that Patrick Swayze, I give him about 3 weeks. Just so you know. Let's throw him on there and we'll get some odds going and we'll talk about it. Patrick Swayze, gonna die here pretty soon. Roadhouse guy.
Yeah, that's nice. That's unnecessary.
Wait, then you're making yourself look good, by the way, when you're going for the death pool and you pick the guy who's had pancreatic cancer for 2 years.
Yeah,
you're not proving impressive. What a smart guy you are in that case.
Were there any, I didn't really catch it, were there any football games of interest over the weekend at all, Ralph? Because
E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles!
Ralph! We're going to the NFC Championship!
Go Eagles.
My people.
And here's another one who's going to be at the party, apparently.
Ralph, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Come on now. Just one more game to the Super Bowl. Fly, Eagles, fly. On the road to victory. E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles!
So by the time the game ended yesterday, there were only Philadelphia fans left at Giants Stadium. All the Giants fans left in the fourth quarter. And I heard them I was listening to the game on the radio, and they were saying how they were, any minute now, Fly Eagles Fly was going to break out. They were going to start singing that at Giants Stadium. Do you know if that happened or not, Ralph?
I don't know. It wasn't on television. That's much, that much I know, but I don't know.
Because that's really an insult to injury at Giants Stadium, I imagine, because that's quite the rivalry.
Yes.
Anyway, good times, 323-520-AFRO. That's the answering machine called the Kevin and Bean Afro Line. You can call 24 hours a day. Get your calls on the air. A quick break, and we'll be right back after this on K-Rock. So excited to have some of the new TV shows back. You know, Scrubs came back last week. 24 came back this weekend. I saw promos last night, Lisa, for Big Love returning.
I can't wait. That's my favorite
United States
show.
Of Terror looks like it's going to be great that airs this weekend. Yes. There's so much good stuff. One show that perhaps I'm not as excited about as the others is The Celebrity Apprentice with Donald Trump.
What? This is going to be the best show ever.
Well, you could be right. March 1st, it returns to NBC. Celebrity Apprentice. Wait till you hear the lineup if you haven't heard it already. In fact, we've got the Don on the phone with us right now. Donald Trump, star of the show, joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Good morning, Donald.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean and Lisa. Always a pleasure to be on your radio program, which I believe is the greatest single radio program that's ever been broadcast ever in the history of the FM frequency modulation signal.
Right. Now, Mr. Trump, you're famous for your hyperbole. I understand that that's what you're good at, is hyping stuff up. But not even you can save this lineup that you've assembled for the new Celebrity Apprentice season.
Bean, I beg to differ. This is the greatest show ever arranged to be broadcast on a network television show program through the airwaves or via cable or via satellite or even that microfiber crap thing.
Okay, if I name some of the people that are going to be working for you in Celebrity Apprentice, can you tell me why it is they'll be compelling television, why people will want to tune in to see them?
Well, first of all, people were dying to get on this show. I was turning away. I turned away Britney Spears. I turned away Lindsay Lohan.
No.
Why would you turn them away?
Because they weren't big enough celebrities for Celebrity Apprentice, which, by the way, is the number one rated reality show program that involves celebrities at a boardroom.
I guess that's true.
Okay, so you turned away Britney, you turned away Lindsay, because who would want to see them?
Not big enough.
Okay, not big enough. Then how did you end up with comedian, quote-unquote, Tom Green as one of your Celebrity Apprentices?
Tom Green. Can you believe we landed him?
Yes.
Unbelievable. We got Tom Green. Everyone was trying to get Tom Green. We got him.
Who was trying to get him?
Everyone. Oprah wanted him to be her co-host.
I don't think that's true at all.
President-elect Barack Obama wanted to make him Secretary of the Interior.
I think you're wrong.
We talked him out of it, and Tom Green's coming to us.
Okay, professional poker player Annie Duke is one of your celebrities.
Annie Duke. I've loved her ever since she played two completely different roles on the Annie Duke show when she was herself and her cousin from England.
Patty Duke. That was the Oscar-winning actress Patty Duke, who no one wants to see either on a reality TV show.
Oh. I loved Annie Duke since she was a little orphan.
Never mind.
She had that dog and this bald dad with a lot of money.
Okay, that was something else, too. That was Annie. What about Dennis Rodman? Who cares about him in 2009?
The Worm still, to this day, is the highest-scoring basketball player in the history of the NBA.
What?
No, that's not true at all. That's absolutely not true.
To this day, Dennis Rodman is still the only NBA player that has ever married Carmen Electra.
Okay, that may be true. All right. We're talking to Donald Trump about The Celebrity Apprentice coming back to NBC March 1st. He's claiming to us that it's a great lineup of celebrities, yet he also includes Andrew Dice Clay in the program.
Andrew Dice Clay is the funniest, balding comedian who wears a leather jacket and smokes a cigarette and made fun of Sinead O'Connor ever.
But
Donald, category.
He was popular 20 years ago. Who cares today what the Dice Man is doing?
He is on the verge of a huge comeback, and is going to take over again the world.
Joan and Melissa Rivers?
Joan and Melissa Rivers, two of the hottest young talent coming up today.
Okay, Joan's like 100.
All right, one of the youngest hot talents coming up today.
They got fired from the TV Guide channel because no one likes them anymore.
All right, two of the most successful performers ever named after a rapidly flowing body of water.
Former country singer Clint Black is one of your apprentices.
Well, we had to put a black guy on the show. NBC made me. They insisted we have one black.
Okay, he's not black, so that doesn't explain him. However, you do have Herschel Walker. Is he your token?
I have been a fan of Herschel J.J. Walker ever since Good Times.
Okay,
when he would say dynamite, I know
JJ.
My hair would flip around on my head.
That was J.J. All right. Is there anyone I haven't mentioned that you're personally excited about, somebody you're looking forward to spending time with on The Apprentice?
I cannot wait to spend more time with Khloe Kardashian.
Okay, how come? Why is she going to be
here? She is red hot. She got all that publicity from that sex movie that she made with RJ.
That was Ray J, and it was her sister.
It's her sister, yeah.
She's not the one that whores herself out on video?
No,
that's Kim.
Yeah.
Chloe, you're fired.
Bush. K-Rock. 647 K-Rock. Why is X-Arm the sport of the future? We'll find out after 7 o'clock. And why Megan Fox is dead to me, also coming up on this morning's show. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Monday morning at 6:51. What's going on, Ralph?
I think any sport that has Jennifer England attached to it is the sport of the future.
Yep.
Yeah.
You speaketh the truth.
It could be extreme bingo. It could be,
bingo.
Mixed martial tiddlywinks. Whatever she's selling, I'm buying. That's all you need to know.
Well, she's selling it here today. She's the sideline reporter for X-Arm. So yes, I'm going to buy a subscription or whatever you need to do to be able to see it and her.
Yes, I'm with you. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? Gran Torino kicked some major ass. $29 million it made in its big opening weekend. Of course, it's been out for a couple weeks now, but it was released wide, as they say in the biz. And a lot of people wanted to see Clint Eastwood chase Asian kids with a shotgun.
Apparently.
Apparently so, yeah.
Bride Wars was number two at the box office, made $21.5 million. Then The Unborn, which just looks too scary for me to watch, came in number three. Marley and Me dropped to four. The Curious Case of Benjamin Button was number five, which got blanked, by the way, at the Golden Globe Awards last night. No love. Bedtime Stories was six. Valkyrie, Yes Man, Not Easily Broken. And 7 pounds rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Speaking of the
Golden, I was thinking about Brad and Angelina. I'm sorry. I was thinking about Brad and Angelina, who both showed up last night, nominated for stuff. Both got blanked, and they've got to be so depressed. Driving home, they're going to have to, adopt a kid or something just to cheer themselves up.
You know, they're depressed until they look in the mirror and say, look at us. We're Brad and Angelina. We rule.
Yeah.
Them and depressed is nope.com. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah. They got nothing to be depressed about. However, they did not win Golden Globes last night. Here's who did. Mickey Rourke surprisingly won for Best Actor in a Drama for his role in The Wrestler. which I think will do worlds of good for that movie. Now people will actually go to see it.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, if you get a chance, I do get a chance to see The Wrestler, and it's excellent, so you might want to check it out. Kate Winslet won twice for Best Actress in a Drama and Best Supporting Actress in a Drama for her roles in Revolutionary Road and The Reader. So, good for her. Heath Ledger won for Best Supporting Actor for his role as the Joker in The Dark Knight. A precursor to the Oscars? Well, sometimes that can happen with the Golden Globes. In terms of the television side, Mad Men won for Best Drama. 30 Rock was Best Comedy. John Adams won for Best Miniseries. And Paul Giamatti and Laura Linney also won for their roles in John Adams' John and Abigail. So, congratulations to those guys. Alec Baldwin won for Best Actor in a Television Series, Musical, or Comedy for his role in 30 Rock. And Tina Fey also won for her performance in 30 Rock. So, good night for 30 Rock.
Mm-hmm.
See Ricky Gervais in the show last night?
Yep.
So good.
He's so funny. He's always so funny.
He's came out with a beer in his hand. That's what I'd like to see in an award ceremony. Just a guy just carrying a big glass of cold beer. Here's a little taste of Ricky as he came out to present one of the nominations for the evening for Best Motion Picture. He came out to present Happy Go Lucky, but it was pretty much about him and being funny.
Thank you. Shush. Listen, how rude are you lot? Just because you're film stars, thank you. Shush. Hello. I'm not in charge. I'm not even nominated, which is a little bit annoying. Isn't it? It sort of, I think, detracts from the credibility of any award show, me not being nominated. I'm like staff at the moment. I'd rather be out there. Well done, Winslet. I told you, do a Holocaust movie, the awards come, didn't I? See? Trouble is with Holocaust films, there's never any gag reel on the DVDs. I don't know, there isn't.
That's true, there really isn't. Ricky, of course, is referring to the fact when he did the TV series Extras on HBO, she made a guest appearance on his show playing a nun who's trying to run away from the Nazis. And she told him she was only doing it so she could win a bloody Oscar finally, so she could finally win one. He said, yeah, do a Holocaust movie. The awards will be rolling in. He may be right. Sienna Miller, speaking of movies, is out of a gig. Has to do with the age-old Hollywood tale of an actress and some excess weight. However, in this particular story, it's not her weight that's the trouble. It's her co-star's Russell Crowe.
Oh, really?
He's awfully beefy these days.
She was signed to play Maid Marian in the new Robin Hood movie Nottingham opposite Russell Crowe. However, he is still so fat that the two of them together looked laughable, according to insiders, that no one would believe a love relationship between an old fat Russell Crowe and a smoking hot Sienna Miller.
Fatty, fat, fatty.
So she's been canned, and they're going to try to find, in the words of an insider, an older, plumper actress to play the role of Maid Marian to make it more believable.
Instead here's some chocolate, Fatso.
Getting him to lose a few pounds?
They're going to find someone who's a little fatter.
Wow, that's star power.
That's fantastic.
To be a better match for Russell Crowe in the film. So.
Haven't they ever seen American television, by the way, where it's always old, fat guys with young, hot, thin wives?
Let's not go shoot for realism now in entertainment, because you just destroy us.
I saw the trailer for that. The movie looks very good. That Russell Crowe, Ben Affleck movie that's coming out where he's playing a newspaper reporter. You guys have seen the trailer for that one?
I haven't. No.
Russell Crowe is so big and so fat. And I'm thinking, why? Why? I mean, if I can look like Russell Crowe, I go ahead and look like Russell Crowe. I don't let myself go like that.
Is it Body of Evidence? Is that the film?
Maybe that's what it's called. Yeah.
I think he gained weight for that role.
Really?
But that was Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, that's right. That was
and that's been out for...
He gained weight for that one,
too. Yeah, he must have made that over a year ago.
I think he's just claiming
to
gain weight for every role he's in. I had to gain weight for that.
I'm guessing he just never could lose the weight once he put it on.
Apparently, that's been a problem, and the two of them look together, they look foolish on the set.
He used to be the gladiator, you guys.
I know.
But you could tell he was going to go beefy.
Fat club members.
Yeah. Oprah. And talks to play Maid Marian, apparently, in Nottingham.
Khloe Kardashian as well.
Make him look a little thinner.
Perfect.
And Michael Jackson's weird.
What?
What?
Yeah, here's some news for you. Great photos in the London Sun British tabloid of Michael shopping the other day. In his basket while he's shopping, the box set of his own greatest hits.
Really?
How sad is that?
Is the only way you can sell one?
Someone's got to buy them.
Oh.
Lisa,
seriously,
Lisa.
When you order those online.
And are you just sad, like I am, that Mike and Juliet has been canceled?
Yes.
And they are...
Mike and Juliet.
Some talk show,
was
right?
The Fox morning show that was attempting to battle with Regis and Kelly. See, they were Mike and Juliet.
Right.
Okay. Sort of like an older, funny-ish dude and a hotter female co-star. And apparently, after two lackluster seasons, Fox has decided to pull the plug on Mike and Juliet. So if you were a big Mike
I can't even
Juliet
believe that's
fan,
something that's real.
Yeah, it was. And congratulations to Casey Stroh. Familiar with Casey Stroh? Bean, you must be.
She's the fat chick from High School Musical, isn't
that's
she?
That's right.
Ugh.
She got married over the weekend to her boyfriend Ben Higginson in a private Mormon ceremony at Salt Lake, Utah. Salt Lake City, Utah. Apparently all the kids from HSM showed up. And Ryan and Bart, they all showed up for the big Mormon Casey Stroh wedding.
My sweet Zach was a presenter on the Golden Globes last night. He came out with Hayden Panettiere.
Yes, he did. And looked like a douche.
And by came out, you mean...
I mean, they appeared together on stage.
She looked great. He looked like a douche.
Well, his hair was flattering hairstyle.
His hair was sort of
had.
Greased, but not quite. Wasn't like slicked down, but it wasn't combed.
Yeah, it did look weird.
Looked just dirty.
She met up with him backstage.
That was ugly.
She met up with him backstage to do the presentation. She looked at him and she talked to him for 5 seconds. She said, "This is why I date older men."
Exactly.
She said, "This is why I'm with a 30-year-old."
And you're a douche. Today's celebrity birthdays. Kirstie Alley is 58 years old today. Same number.
She could
of,
play Maid Marian.
Yes, she could. She could play Sherwood Forest.
Eat Maid Marian.
Rush Limbaugh is 58. Oliver Platt turns 49. Rob Zombie's 43. Heather Mills is 41. You know, Heather Mills had a birthday party recently. Oh, we don't have time for all the guests that were at a birthday party, I guess.
Maybe
the next hour. Zach De La Roca of Rage Against the Machine is 39. And Melanie Chisholm, Sporty Spice of the Spice Girls.
Yeah.
Turns 35 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I guess what I'm saying is there aren't enough sports. That's been my complaint, is that there need to be more sports. Don't
I
you
agree.
Guys agree?
Yeah. And more sports involving the letter X.
It's the Kevin DeBean Show at KROQ 106.7 KROQ. It is Monday morning. Please welcome Mr. Art Davey to the studio. First of all, he is the... is it true that you are the creator of UFC, Art? Is that true?
Way back in the day when they were looking for something new and exciting, I had the brainstorm, and yes... I created the Ultimate Fighting Championship.
Wow.
That's a shame. That never took off, huh? The whole UFC
thing?
What
happened to that?
I don't know. What happened to that sport?
Really?
Please tell me you sold for so much you don't ever have to work. In fact, you're just doing X-Arm for fun.
I'm the famous guy who sold a $1 billion business for $1 million.
Oh.
Yeah, what can I
say? All right, I no longer care about you because I just realized Jennifer England is also the studio. She's the sideline reporter for the new X-Arm. Hey, Jennifer, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
How did Art, who obviously is a very persuasive man, how did he talk you into getting involved in the X-Arm?
Well, you know what? I've always loved sports, so I went over to Ripe TV, and Alan Winters and Mark Stendahl just sat me down, told me about it, and I'm just tagging along. Love it. It's great.
Now, pardon my ignorance. I'm not familiar with Ripe TV.
Ripe is the spike of the internet.
Oh, okay. So it's an internet broadcast.
Oh,
I got you.
Yeah.
Oh, I
got you.
Yeah, they claim to have a lock on all those 16 to 24-year-old kids out in their bedroom, you know, computer whizzes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now, we have so many questions for you. I mean, we could spend a day just on the UFC stuff, which is so fascinating. But now we're getting in on the ground floor of what could be one day, who knows how big it's going to be. What is X-Arm for folks who are just hearing about it for the first time ever?
Well, X-Arm, Bean, is a brand new sport. It's got the best of arm wrestling, kickboxing, and jiu-jitsu. And I was looking for a sport that had well-built males, lots of testosterone, and something that reminded people what good rough sex really looks like.
Yeah, between two well-built men who are duct-taped together.
Who are duct-taped together.
Now you're talking.
I got you, yeah.
So
Mike's on board.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
you're on board, right? And so, fans from all the way from Brooklyn to Bangkok at this point are starting to get behind it. And by the way, can I say Bangkok on this one?
Yes,
morning radio?
Can.
We appreciate it. Say it as often as you like.
All right.
It sounds like you were making a joke about the duct tape, but explain to folks actually what happens, what they see when they watch an X-Arm. And by the way, you can go to KROQ.com, front page of the Kevin and Bean section, and you'll see a video up there that kind of will show you in a little more detail what Art's about to explain to us.
Well, Bean, these are two guys that are competing across a 16 by 28-inch table. So, you know, in boxing and in MMA, where you've got a boxing ring and a cage, this action takes place much closer. The guys are up front and personal, and they've got to either be able to score pins or knock out their opponent. So you've got two guys who are going at it full bore over three rounds with a minute rest between rounds, and it's almost like a drag race compared to road racing. You know, they've got to put out all their energy in a very short period of time. Very intense.
Now, the guys put their arms up on the podium as if they're going to arm wrestle, right?
Exactly.
They're duct taped together at the wrist.
Well, you know why we had to go to the duct tape? The duct tape became like a last-minute solution. We had these guys with Velcro. We had a cool strap.
Oh, I got you.
And then, you know, you get 260-pound guys pulling against each other.
They were just pulling apart.
Yeah, even the, you know, Velcro, which has kept the space shuttle together, failed us.
So the duct tape works. It keeps them together.
Yeah, I've got to come up with a better solution. We're not sure what it's going to be.
I like the duct tape. It's a little low-tech. It's a little earthy, a little gutsy. It's got like a back alley kind of feel to it. I like the duct tape.
You know what's cool is that the audience got into it. As soon as they would come apart and somebody would step up with the tape, the crowd would start going, tape, tape, tape.
It's like Mad Max.
Yeah, I loved it.
And they're chained to the podium as well, right? At the waist, so they can't get away.
Exactly. These guys are sitting in a D-ring harness. So they can lean back or sit down. Gives them a little more leverage for the kicks and doesn't allow them to escape from the table.
And then when they're starting, they're trying to pin each other down or knock the other guy out with a series of punches with
exactly.
the free hand and free,
exactly.
free feet, right?
And the pins count just like it was a knockdown in boxing. You know, so if you get pinned, it's going to count against you. A smart fighter can be defensive, pull back, get those arm wrestling pins. But sometimes you get the bulls that come in there, they want to knock them out.
We've seen some footage of it. It's just amazing sport. It's so much fun. I don't know why I like it so much. Say something about me, I guess, but I really enjoy it.
Where were you when you realized that this sport didn't exist and you had to create it, Art?
What were you
doing at the time?
You know, Piranha Entertainment, way up there in Seattle, is actually my partner, and they had some rough ideas. They came and were introduced to me by the people at Ripe TV. They said, you either have to go to Hulk Hogan, who we know, this is going to be sports entertainment, but if you want to make it a real sport, they said, we know Art Davey. He created the UFC. So we sat down and began to talk about it. It first started really as a marketing concept. Mm-hmm. But then when we got into the gym, we found out we had a real sport. The athletes themselves actually evolved it. They brought all the skills to the table. We brought arm wrestlers, kickboxers, MMA guys, and these guys actually started to advance the sport in the gym. I looked at it at one point and said, there's the future.
All right, Jennifer, my dear, my
yes.
sweetheart,
yeah.
what do you love about this sport? You've obviously been up close and personal right there on the sideline. What have you seen that has excited or impressed you about X-Arm so far?
Well, I've been a kickboxer for 10 years, so between what I've experienced and what I've seen, and I'm a huge UFC fan as far as mixed martial arts, it's just the most intense sport I've ever seen in my life, and I'm just really happy to see how far we can go.
And it's what makes it so intense, what Art was talking about, how you are in such a confined, small space. You can't run away. There's never a second that you can breathe because you can get out of the range of the other guy, right?
Right. You can't run. You can't hide. You're in there. And you better be a man because the next person's going to – one person's getting knocked out. You just kind of feel it going in. So, yeah, you can't hide in this one for sure.
Jennifer, as a sideline reporter, you've gotten to know these athletes as they're competing since November, right? That's when the competition started.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of guys are competing in this sport? I mean, what kind of athletes does this sport attract?
We have – wrestlers, we have jiu-jitsu, we have kickboxers, as well as championship arm wrestlers. So it's anyone and everyone that pretty much has the heart and the fighting ability to knock the next person out. And mm-hmm. like I said, you have to be a man for this sport, for sure. Don't come knocking if you're not.
Was the sport just open up, or did you let all comers kind of come and compete, or did they have to have a certain amount of credibility in order to
I know where all the fighters are at this point in terms of managers and fighters. We went through an awful lot of people to find the initial guys for the X-Arm Heavyweight Tournament. The championship, by the way, will be on Ripe TV this Wednesday. The 14th.
Oh, all right.
Okay. So, yeah, we'll be crowning a champion. Homer Moore is going to be facing Ivan Gatoluwai, a big Samoan, a throwing Samoan.
Ah, the throwing Samoan.
We love those guys. Solid.
And you'll be fighting The Rock for the championship. So, yeah, we went everywhere and began to pull in fighters from as far away as the East Coast. And I've gotten inquiries already from Asia and from Europe, from England. And I think what we're going to see is this sport will take its place alongside of boxing and MMA.
So this wasn't like a tough man competition where just any jamoke off the street could come in and compete.
No, in fact, we've applied for sanctioning with all the commissions. We've applied here in California. We're approaching now Nevada, Colorado, Arizona, New Mexico. And you know, we have a full set of rules, a full set of scoring system, just like boxing. So it is a legitimate sport. And it's a sport that we really think belongs on a 2-inch screen. Works real well.
Well, that's where all the best stuff is.
Sure.
All right,
absolutely.
We need to take a quick break. I have many more questions. I want to hear more about the championship. I want to hear, make sure that people know where they can see it and tell us a little bit about these fighters and whatnot and what the future plans are for X-Arm. And really, I just want Jennifer to stick around for the rest of the day. That's really what's going on here.
See what we can arrange for you.
We'll take a break and come back with more. It's all X-Arm. Again, go to the front page of the Kevin and Bean section of KROQ.com and you can see it for yourself. We'll talk more with the guys when we return right after this on KROQ. Appropriate song choice for this conversation. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. That is Bleed It Out. We're talking about X-Arm, the sport of the future, perhaps. Art Davey, the creator of the sport, is in our studio along with his sideline reporter, Jennifer England. Jennifer, is it true you were a Barker's Beauty, by the way?
I was a Barker's Beauty, yeah.
Wow. How about that? Going from the Price is Right to arm wrestling is crazy.
From standing in front of a Winnebago and pointing to it, now to dealing with sweaty guys beating up on each other.
You know, out in L.A., it's hard. You got to be the jack of all trades to get work out here.
That's true.
I do everything.
Did you ever have to kick Barker's ass? Did he ever come on to you backstage or anything?
No,
you had to rough him up?
Because he probably would have retired much sooner.
Yeah, I bet he would have knocked him out.
We found out before the break, by the way, that the championship of, I guess this is the first season? Is that what you would consider it, Art, as a season?
Yes, it is. And what we did was we held a tournament, so it's the X-Arm Heavyweight Championship. And the final is this Wednesday, the 14th, on Ripe TV.
What time does that air, do we know?
You know,
does it air all day long?
It airs all day long.
I got it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay. Now, tell me again about the two competitors who are going to be going for the crown and what their backgrounds are.
Well, Homer the Rock Moore is one of the MMA veterans. He's got over 100 fights in mixed martial arts. He was a great competitive wrestler. I think he was the Olympic alternate in 1996 in wrestling. And he's going up against a really tough, young kickboxer out of the Bay Area named Ivan Gatolawai, a big, strong Samoan, about 260 pounds. So Homer's coming in at about 206, and he's facing a guy who weighs about 260. So it's really a battle against youth, against age, because Homer's 36 and Ivan is 20. And Homer's been a defensive, smart guy who had a very weak boot camp with us. He didn't look real strong coming up in terms of the tournament, but he's done a great job of being a really smart fighter during this whole process. And young Ivan, who everyone figured was just too young and too inexperienced, his energy and his passion for this thing has really shown that he has a place in X-Arm.
Some of the video that I have seen of your, are they called matches? Is that what you call them?
Yeah, matches or bouts.
Okay, so some of it, you find yourself in what look like dangerous positions. There have to have been some injuries at this point.
Well, you know, any contact sport is going to have its potential for injuries. You know, football has probably more injuries, and horse racing, more jockeys are injured in those sports. You know, so there are potentials here for injury. You can do some limited moves in terms of grappling and jiu-jitsu. And I think at one point, one of our fans called in and said, my God, we actually saw an arm bar and right across the table. So I think, you know, the potential for someone to be put in a position that could be disadvantageous is there. But these guys are all well-trained and well-prepared. And they come to the party ready for it.
Psycho Mike, I know you love all physical fitness stuff. You had a red flag go off when you heard about the X-Arm.
Well, I mean, I've been involved in maybe 5-6 arm wrestling matches in my life, either as a viewer or as a contestant. And out of those, I've seen 3 guys have their arm pop and then go to the hospital. That's a pretty high percentage. I was just wondering how you guys deal with that. That's between me and my candy-ass friends. I can't imagine when you're talking about 260-pound guys. How do their arms stand up to that torque, especially when they're taped together?
Psycho Mike, you bring up a really good point, and that is, are these guys prepared to be, you know, to deal with the fact that you can do a spiral fracture of an arm pretty easily?
Yeah.
In regular arm wrestling. So we brought one of the top arm wrestling coaches, Andrew Cobra Rhodes, is our guy in the boot camps, and one of the first things he does with the athletes is he shows them where the disadvantageous, where the, what they call the jeopardy position is in arm wrestling.
Uh-huh.
Because if you get your arm extended beyond your shoulder, And the inexperienced people don't know that.
Yeah.
It only takes 12 pounds of pressure to pop the humerus bone.
Wow.
So, but if you know that, you can get your arm tight, you can get your shoulder in the right position, and you can avoid being put into the jeopardy position. That's the first thing we teach them in boot camp.
Nice.
Probably good advice to take right from lesson one.
And don't try this at home, you too, by the way.
Yeah,
I'm
that's
already
a really
cringing
good point.
Just thinking about the idea of kids trying to do this in their bedrooms, whatever, and hurt themselves.
To me, the ultimate evolution of this, though, is celebrity matches. At some point, I'm looking for, I'd like to go up against Don Trump In fact, Don and I were...
versus Donald Trump.
Don and I were roommates at New York Military Academy way back in the 1960s.
Oh, are you kidding
That's right.
I would
Donald
love to
Trump
see that.
Donald Trump was a supply sergeant, and Art Davie was a private. In fact, he had the upper bunk, and I had the lower bunk. You can see the dynamic on that already.
And of course he was a supply sergeant.
He
that
was a supply sergeant.
Perfect
yes.
sense. He was tough.
Exactly. And he was annoying even then. So I think it was a celebrity match, you know, between Art Davie. And he outweighs me by, you know, quite a bit. But, yeah. but we're both about the same age, so I think it'd be kind of fun.
I would like to take on Jennifer in the undercard, actually, if you're looking for people.
We can do that.
Just to be tape duck to her, duct tape rather to her, would be worth it. That's all I care about, really.
Jennifer, has there been any talk of a women's X-arm?
As of now, no, but I've had many questions whether I would do it or not. And it's something, if I was put up to, I would do, but not something I'd volunteer to do. It is brutal. I'd rather be the sideline reporter and just kind of on the backside of all the action going on.
And this is coming from a kickboxer, someone who has battled before. So
yeah, for sure. I mean, if it was kickboxing, if I could run and hide or just at least run around a ring, I'm all good. I'll beat you down. But if I'm taped together or strapped together, yeah. whatever it may be, and I can't get away and I can't do my certain moves I like to do, I'm just going to go ahead and be a viewer.
How long does seem a little bit too much like the movie Saw for me. I got to be honest.
And I'm sorry, but how long are the rounds again? You mentioned
they're 1 minute apiece, and there's only three of them. We tried it in the gym to do it longer, and they couldn't do it.
Now, do you separate them in between the rounds, or do they stay taped?
No, we do. We separate them. Huh. So they get a full break in between to get themselves ready for the next bout, next round.
Okay, we're almost out of time here, Art. A question from an emailer. What about left arm fighters? Is there a place for them in the X arm?
You know, we addressed that early on because what we do is we actually flip a coin before the first round to determine which arm they'll contest, and then we alternate to the next round, and finally the third round you flip the coin again. So they get an equal opportunity to contest the power of both sides of their upper body.
And it's probably good because it rests the arm from round to round.
Now, some people said, isn't it dangerous that they're taped together? I said, well, it's actually safer because now you only got to face one arm and 2 feet.
Right.
That's true.
Right TV. Is it RightTV.com?
RightTV.com. There's the place to go to see the final, the heavyweight championship between Homer the Rock Moore and Ivan Gatulawai this Wednesday.
The Throwing Samoan.
The Throwing Samoan.
Oh, The Rock versus the Throwing Samoan. Yeah. I couldn't be more excited.
I love the names.
Do they archive the past X-Arm fights as well, Art?
Yes. You can see them on our XArm.com site, XArm.com, and you can see them on RightTV as well.
Yeah, you got to check this out. It is insane.
Only time will tell if this conversation is going to be a laughable footnote or if we're going to be able to say we were there at the beginning when this ends up being bigger than the Super Bowl. But I'm glad we had you guys in. It was a lot of fun. Art Davie, of course, creator of the X-Arm, and the beautiful Jennifer England, who, by the way, I don't want to let you go without mentioning that you're going to be in the Fast and the Furious 4 coming out later this year with Vin Diesel, and also Nicolas Cage, the G-Force movie. Both of those. You already have those wrapped up, Jennifer?
Yes, I am. Actually, right before X-Arm, I wrapped all that up. So, yeah, it's an exciting year. I'm especially excited about the X-Arm, though.
I ordinarily would never go see either one of those movies, but now that I've met you, believe me, I'm going to be there.
Wonderful.
All right, you guys, thanks for coming in on the Kevin Beach on K-Rock. We enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're playing Harvey Danger. What are you going to say about it, huh? It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. Why Megan Fox is dead to me, coming up after the news at 8. First, though, big, big weekend in the NFL. Not maybe necessarily if you were a top-seeded team because there were a ton of upsets. This game was probably the best game of the weekend, though.
What began as a Super Bowl dream has turned into a giant nightmare. Big Blue is out of the NFL playoffs after losing to the Eagles. Eli Manning was not sharp. Last year's Super Bowl MVP threw two interceptions.
Yeah.
The kicking game struggled as well. The ultra-consistent John Carney missed two field goals, one to the right, one to the left. And the Giants failed to convert on two crucial fourth and short situations down the stretch. Meanwhile, Donovan McNabb ran and passed for the only two touchdowns in the game as the Eagles knocked out the Giants 23-11.
Almost everything that could have gone wrong for the Giants went wrong for the Giants yesterday, and Eli Manning cannot be happy about it. He joins us on the phone, number 10 on the phone, on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Good morning, Eli.
Hi.
Oh, Eli.
Hi, I'm Eli.
I'm sorry. You sound so sad.
I'm Eli.
Yeah. What happened, dude? No. Eli, no. Put it away.
I missed.
Oh, good. That's good news. What happened, Eli?
I hate God.
Oh, well, oh. you don't hate God.
But
I mean,
God
it's just...
made the wind, and I can't throw the ball in the wind.
Oh.
Stupid win.
Eli, count up for people who didn't watch the game, if you can. I don't know if you can count this. Like, how many touchdowns did you have yesterday?
We had no.
No,
touchdowns.
Zero. Not even one, right?
No.
You're the Super Bowl champs, though. You're the reigning Super Bowl MVP. You were supposed to repeat.
I wanted to. They
Everybody
said I
was
would get another citizen watch if I did. But I threw to the wrong guys.
Yeah, you threw the guys the other uniform.
I tried to throw to the black guy in the blue shirt, and the black guy in the white shirt caught it.
Yeah, that happens sometimes.
I hate it.
Yeah, you must be so sad.
No,
Eli.
I missed again.
Oh, good. Are you willing to admit that the Eagles are a very, very good team?
The Eagles are the greatest team in the whole NFL football world.
Is that Eli Manning talking?
Yes, I am saying that completely unbiased whatsoever, not being influenced by any radio personality.
I see. Okay.
Of course we couldn't win. We were up against a god. Named Donovan McNabb. He's not a man, he's a god.
But Eli, you're the Super Bowl MVP and the world champion.
Not anymore. We were defending champions, and now we're just defending our butts.
Yeah, so what are you
in prison cell?
Well, I don't know that you're going to prison. You don't go to prison because
Plastico
you lose.
Plastico is.
Well, that doesn't have anything to do with the game, though.
Stupid Plastico shooting him leg. And maybe, I hate him.
Maybe perhaps Michael Strahan retiring didn't help you either.
Well, no, but we were doing fine until Plaxico did that thing.
Yeah, it wasn't good with
now
the
Now we're
all.
Not good.
Yeah.
That's all what right. We'll get them next week. Yeah, ooh, next week we'll yeah. show them. We'll teach them when we play next week. We're going to win that for sure.
I don't believe that you're invited to play next week. It's really the four teams that won this weekend that move on next week, Eli. I'm sorry.
What?
Here's another recap near the end of the game from yesterday's Giants-Eagles game.
Think back to that first half even. All the chances that the Giants had with good field position and some penalties that knocked them maybe out of good field position, but not capitalizing, not finishing drives, not converting third downs. And that's the essence of football. And they didn't get those things done.
Didn't get it done, Eli, is what they're saying.
No,
Eli.
I missed.
Oh, thank God you're such a terrible
really
shot.
I'm really not accurate. Must be windy in here.
Hey! It's the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. That wasn't the dreaded double clap at the end of the offseason.
And the hey. Double clap.
And they hate both. Wow.
Happy Monday, everybody.
Dear Kevin and Bean, Chris writes in, he's obviously a Giants fan, by the way. Even when you only freaking pretend to talk to Eli Manning, you still manage to curse him and the Giants, you bastards. I think it's past time to get an interview with Donovan McNabb, guys. I'm just saying, is what he suggests.
Not available.
Ralph's restraining order still hasn't let up, so we can't even talk to him on the phone.
Yeah, I'm not allowed to get to within 50 words of him.
Last night was the Golden Globe show. Ralph's going to have some winner info for you here in just a moment. But something happened on the red carpet that it made me turn on Megan Fox. And I never thought I'd say that because I love her so much. But as a result of her interview on the red carpet last night on the E! Channel, I want to see birds peck out her eyes. And I will play the tape for you. And we will discuss it coming up after the news at 8. Right now, time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
I did not watch any of the red carpet coverage because just because I don't.
It's annoying.
I don't have to.
I haven't in a long time, and I did this time, and halfway through I thought, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
Did you see Seacrest just get totally shined on by Brangelina?
I read about it. I didn't. Oh, I wasn't watching his
it was
interview.
The best. I guess he was hosting for E!, I guess, right?
Yeah.
That's right.
And so Seacrest, you know, he's watching everybody come to the red carpet. He goes, oh, there's Brad and Angelina. I'm going to get down there and get a word with Brad and Angelina. I'm going to get down there. And they get down there, and their security just steps in and just stonewalls him. He's like, Brad, hey, Brad, can I... And the guy just, like, literally steps in front of him and kind of pushes him back. And then for the rest of the broadcast, he, from what I understand, from what I watched online, he was like, oh, yeah, well, they're busy. They're rushing down the red carpet. They don't have time. They're rushing in. They must be running late. They must be rushing in. Mm-hmm. And then you see Brad just go up to Billy Bush and have, like, a 20-minute conversation.
Yeah, they were talking to everybody but Ryan. Yeah. It was very funny.
Awesome.
He's a total gaylord.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Golden Globes, shall we?
Okay.
Slumdog Millionaire won for Best Motion Picture Drama to the surprise of many. It's been getting a lot of critical acclaim, but not nearly as well known as some of the other bigger hits that were up for that category. Musical or comedy, motion picture went to Vicky Cristina Barcelona, the Woody Allen film.
That's a good friend. That's a good movie friend, though.
Thank you, Javier Bardem. Stars in that film. Mickey Rourke won for Best Actor in a Drama for his role in The Wrestler. Kate Winslet had herself a pretty good night, picked up the Best Actress and Supporting Actress awards for Revolutionary Road and The Reader, respectively. Heath Ledger won the Best Supporting Actor in a Motion Picture for The Dark Knight. For the TV people, Tina Fey did very well for herself. Not only did she win for Best Actress in a Comedy, but 30 Rock won for Best Comedy. Mad Men won for Best Drama Series. John Adams won for Best Miniseries. Alec Baldwin won for Best Actor in a Musical or Comedy Series. And Gabriel Byrne for In Treatment won for Best Actor in a Television Series. Apparently there was a TV show called In Treatment, and apparently Gabriel Byrne was in it, much to my surprise. The best thing about the Golden Globes is it is pretty much Hollywood's biggest party. The awards almost seem secondary to drinking a lot of Moët champagne that's on the table and getting a little juiced. So much so that, you know, in these award ceremonies, they always have the president of whatever academy is handing out the awards come out and give some long, boring speech about how they decide on who wins and what the process is.
Yeah. And how important the industry is, and it's always just 5 minutes of death every time they step on the stage.
Not this show, not the Golden Globes. The guy who's the president of the Foreign Press Association, Hollywood Press Association. I think I'm drinking at the Golden Globes. Hollywood Foreign Press Association came out and gave us this little speech.
Thank you. I am glad to be here. But you know all those boring president speeches you hear at award shows? Not tonight. I just would like to welcome all of you and Stephen on behalf of the members of the Hollywood Foreign Press Association and request and demand that you have a good time. Thank you.
I demand it.
And that was it. That was the extent of it. All of it.
Demand that you drink. I thought it was a character Psycho Mike was doing when I pressed on the guy come out. I am glad to be here, and Steven Spielberg, and everyone else, drink!
It did sound like Mayor Villaraigosa stopped by. I don't know what that's all about.
Take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Shall we? Gran Torino, the Clint Eastwood film, made $29 million this weekend. Pretty good. Bride Wars was number 2, then The Unborn. Marley and Me, The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, came in at number 5. Bedtime Stories, Valkyrie, Yes Man, Not Easily Broken, and 7 Pounds, rounding out the rest of the top 10.
Lisa, you know if you keep going to see movies like Bride Wars, they'll keep making movies like Bride Wars. You understand that you are now officially part of the problem, right?
Well, they keep making crappy movies no matter what. Come on.
No, but they don't help it. People don't go.
That's right. Just ask Mickey Rourke. People stopped going to his movies, and it took him 20 years. He said he was almost out of the business last night when he accepted his award for The Wrestler.
Wow.
He had almost left the business. And one guy came up to him and said, look, I'm an agent, and I really liked your early work and stuff, and I want to represent you, and I think we can bring your career back. And he did it. Yeah. Speaking of Clint Eastwood, who had the number one movie this weekend, he was also nominated for a Golden Globe for the theme song for Gran Torino that he wrote. Bruce Springsteen ended up winning that category for his song in The Wrestler, but he said it was pretty cool because he said it's the only time he'll ever be up for the same award as Clint Eastwood, so he thought that was pretty cool.
It's a really good song. They play it at the closing credits. I remember when I saw the movie, I was like, wow, what is this song? And you know, as soon as he starts singing, you could tell it's him singing, but it's actually a really good song.
It's a weird category. Clint Eastwood, Bruce Springsteen, and Miley Cyrus were all in that category together.
And Peter Gabriel.
Yeah.
And Peter Gabriel, right, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it was a weird batch. Oh, Kanye. Oh, Kanye. Kanye, Kanye, Kanye. Kanye West has told us he wants us to see his testicles.
All right.
Pretty much.
What?
Here's his quote from the latest issue of Vibe magazine when he was interviewed. I feel definitely like in the next however many years, if I work out for 2 months, that I'll pose naked.
Balls.
I break every rule and mentality of hip-hop, of black culture, of American culture.
Okay.
Balls.
I want the freedom of having less fans. It's like the freedom of having less money. If you have less money, you have less responsibility. It's like Bjork.
What?
If she wanted to pose naked, you'd be like, oh, that's Bjork. But if I wanted to pose naked, people would draw all type of things into it.
Like what?
I would not want to be his nutsack.
So Kanye West would like you to buy his albums less so that he can take his clothes off and show us his nuts.
Look, we know what it's like to have less fans.
Yeah, and less money, for that matter.
It's no fun. You're better off where you are selling a million records at a time, Kanye.
I've had no fans, and I've had a few fans, and I've had no money, and I've had a few dollars. More is better when you come to those two
nuts.
And whether, you know, just if you want to show us your nuts, then fine, but we don't have to stop buying your albums. They're not mutually exclusive, Kanye.
Why does he want to pose nude? I still don't understand, the point of that.
Don't say things about him, though.
Because he breaks every rule and mentality of hip-hop, of black culture, of American culture. That's why he wants to do it.
Showing off your nuts did not work out well for Cisco Adler.
That's true.
So don't do that, Kanye.
But it's like Bjork, man. That's all I got to say. It's like Bjork.
Sure.
That's my new catchphrase. Hey, how's that new dish you're tasting over there at the Olive Garden? Yeah, it's like Bjork. Yeah.
Love it.
Dustin Hoffman's a kleptomaniac.
I've never heard that before.
He's been doing some press for his new movie, What About Harvey?
Last Chance Harvey.
Yeah, whatever it's called. And he told the London Sun tabloid that he cannot help himself from stealing things in hotels when he goes
there.
Really? Yes.
How about that?
He says he has to steal the soap. So often he'll take towels and even bath mats.
Bath mats?
Yes.
He doesn't need any of that stuff.
He does not need any of that stuff. But he says he can't help himself.
Who would want a hotel bath mat?
I have no
idea.
That's
a really good question.
He says he especially likes it if it says something impressive like London or Paris on it. But he
comes home with a suitcase full and his wife's like, seriously, Dustin.
Dusty, we have plenty of soap. We're rich. We can buy our own towels.
Back.
But he can't help himself.
That's funny.
He's a little weird. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't want to show us his nuts.
No, he doesn't.
Thank God.
It's like Bjork, man. Today's celebrity birthday is Kirstie Alley. He's 58 years old today. Political radio host Rush Limbaugh is also 58. Oliver Platt turns 49. Rob Zombie turns 43 years old today. Zach De La Rocha of Rage Against the Machine is 39. Melanie Chisholm, who of course was known as Sporty Spice for many years of the Spice Girls, is 35. And Heather Mills, former wife of Paul McCartney, turns 41 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We got your Paramore, also Foo Fighters and Kings of Leon coming up later this hour. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock, the day after the Golden Globes, and Megan Fox is dead to me.
All right, look, you've been saying this all morning, and I didn't watch the red carpet coverage. But what could she possibly have said on the red carpet that would set you off like this?
Okay, here's the thing. Can we start with agreeing on the premise that hot chicks are good?
Yeah.
Yes.
Sure.
That's a universal given.
All right. There are two things that hot chicks do, though, that drive me crazy and drive a lot of people crazy. One is they talk about how tough it is to be hot. That's the one thing. And we've seen that, especially on a lot of these reality show contestants. Yeah. They say, man, you just don't know how tough it is being this hot. I never get the break.
I wish I was ugly. Because when I was growing up, everyone hated me because I was beautiful.
Yeah, that is really disgusting and annoying.
Okay, that's thing one that can turn you on a hot chick. Doesn't matter how hot she is. If she does that, then you hate her, right? Okay.
Yes.
Thing two is the thing that Miss Megan Fox, world's most beautiful woman, did on the red carpet last night, which is the opposite of that, which is to say, I'm not hot. I'm ugly. I don't know what people are talking about. Screw you that you're not hot and you don't know what people are talking about. Here's the interview. Who's the chick who co-hosts these things with Ryan Seacrest, the one who's married to Bill Rancic from The Apprentice? What's her name, Ryan?
Juliana DePandy.
Yes, she's the one who's doing the interview. Here she is bringing on Megan Fox. And we are going to take your calls on this topic, too, at 1-800-520-1067. But listen to what Megan had to say.
From a hot man to one of the hottest women in the business right now, Megan Fox with me now. Why do you shake your head?
Because I'm pretty sure I'm a doppelganger for Alan Alda.
Okay. I'm a doppelganger. Now, Alan Alda, for folks who don't know, is about 75 years old. He starred on the TV show MASH back in the 70s. Yeah. He's an old man, right?
But good job, Megan Fox, with the Alan Alda reference. Right. Pulling that out of her ass.
That's, and that's, saying doppelganger.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. Whatever she may lose you with, that comment, she gains for using doppelganger and Alan Alda in the same sentence.
It's so like she's beyond playing Mad Libs. Ridiculous.
Okay, she's not done yet.
She's been
yet.
On the cover of magazines.
So is Alan Alda.
She's not ugly.
So is Alan Alda.
Megan
been on
Fox,
TV Guide many
well,
times,
why doesn't
Lisa?
She just go for those character roles?
Megan Fox, thank you, Lisa, for pointing it out, has been named by more than one magazine the sexiest woman in the world. Okay, not you're attractive, you're passable, you'll do. these magazines are telling her that out of all the women in the world, you're the hottest, yet she says she's not hot with a straight face. Wait, there's more.
Because I'm pretty sure I'm a doppelganger for Alan Alda.
Oh, God. Out of here.
I'm a tranny. I'm a man.
Okay, I'm a tranny and I'm a man. She's Listen. Not joking. She's not doing this to be funny. She's doing this because she is effed up.
First of all, listen, sweetie, I've been with tons of trannies, and believe me, you are no tranny, okay? And second of all, it makes her hotter.
Yeah.
Because she has horrible self-esteem, obviously, which means a regular guy's got a shot with a broad like that.
I didn't hear this interview.
She's engaged to.
When you sold it to me, I was upset too. But now hearing it back, hearing her delivery and what she's saying, I'm way on board. This is funny.
Really?
Yes.
You think she's the kind of hot chick with low self-esteem that you enjoy? Is that what you're saying?
No, I think she's clearly joking. I mean, I don't think
she's
really thinks she looks like Alan Alda. I really don't, and I think her saying a tranny, it was a funny way of doing it, because you're stuck between a rock and a hard place if you're Megan Fox, and you are that beautiful. What is she going to do? Oh, yeah, you're right, I am pretty hot. You're right, I am one of the hottest.
She doesn't have to do that. Agree.
She doesn't have to do that. She can say, oh, thank you very much, and then move on.
Yeah,
but
you're right.
I think it's a slap in the face of normal people, of regular people, people who don't look like Megan Fox, for her to be up there bashing herself and talking about how ugly she is, because clearly she knows it's not true. And she, as Miss Cleo so eloquently put it earlier this morning, is a lying liar who lies if she says that she doesn't know that she's attractive. But wait, there's more.
You do not look in the mirror and not think you're beautiful. Don't even.
No, I'm so painfully insecure. Like, I'm on the verge of vomiting right now.
You know, when she does this, all she creates is the desire from the interviewer to tell her again how beautiful she is. If she just let it go, then it's it would true. Be done.
Almost like reverse psychology.
Yeah.
There's no way she looks in the mirror and doesn't see that she's got beautiful features. It's not possible.
All women know what they look like on their worst day, but they also know what they look like on their best day.
Yeah.
And she has some really good days.
Yeah. Her worst day is better than most people's best
Absolutely.
Days.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Am I crazy that this is a deal breaker for me, that this attitude is so infuriating to me? That she feels this way, or that she says these things on the red carpet, because I think it's bogus.
I do too.
I think she's obviously mistaken and is deeply insecure, but it doesn't raise my ire up like it does with you. It doesn't get my hackles all up.
Let's talk to Cynthia and Pico Rivera, 1-800-520-1067. I got to decide whether to take Megan Fox out of my five favorites on my phone. I got to decide at this point. I'm very close. Cynthia, what do you think?
I think you should take her out.
Really? What's the problem? Maybe I'm not doing a very good job of articulating why it's so annoying to see an obviously beautiful woman say, oh, I'm ugly.
Look, I am a huge fan of Megan Fox, and I definitely think she is one of the hottest people on the planet. Definitely.
Right.
However, when you hear her talk like that, is it really necessary? Angelina is definitely one of the hottest women on the planet, and she just passes it on with a thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's a much classier way to handle it, right.
There's just a much classier way to do it, and I'm sorry, but Angelina looked way hotter yesterday without even opening her mouth yesterday.
But isn't the question, Cynthia, whether she's actually insecure and reacting that way or whether she's putting it on? If she's putting it on, then I could see why she would be hateable because of it. But if she's genuinely insecure and is uncomfortable with looking at herself, don't you have to give her a pass?
I completely doubt it, though. Come on.
Thank you for the call, Cynthia. We appreciate it. I'm gonna say that, Ralph, you could be right that she could be painfully insecure and she's being honest when she says that, but she should have some self-awareness to know what it sounds like to the rest of us to see somebody that looks like that standing up there saying, I'm a tranny, I'm a man, I'm a doppelganger for Alan Alda.
And that it makes other people want to reassure her that she's wrong and know she's really pretty. I mean, that's what happens every time she says that.
But for me, it's like when people say to George Clooney, oh, what a great actor you are and what a superstar you are. And he goes, yeah, I'm the guy who almost killed the Batman franchise. You know, I'm a TV actor who got lucky. A lot of people sort of deflect that stuff by playing up what they think their worst characteristics are. So you don't get the sense that they take themselves too seriously or think too much of themselves.
I agree. I mean, I know that self-deprecation is a wonderful skill, and I think it's useful for most people. But there's a difference between the way Clooney handles it and the way Megan Fox handles it, which is, I'm standing here getting ready to vomit because I'm so ugly I shouldn't be seen in public.
Yeah, what she should say is, have you seen my thumbs?
See?
That's what she
should say.
That's
horrible, Lisa.
Then she should point out the feature that's really, really kind of hideous.
Well, just to touch on real quick what Cynthia was saying about how to compare it to Angelina Jolie, and you say to Clooney, she may have been going for Clooney-esque type delivery, but she's like 20 and she hasn't had the practice yet. And she's probably not as smart as George Clooney or Angelina Jolie. So give her some time. I mean,
they are a little bit more mature, certainly, and have more experience
with
that. The
intent might have been there, and she kind of just, you know, bobbled it
on. She overplayed it or something, perhaps.
Yeah. Let's talk to Stephen Granada Hills. He's on line 6 on the Kevin and Bean Show. 1-800-520-1067 if you want to weigh in. Hi, Steve. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Long-time listener. Love the show.
Thank you.
This is actually probably the first time that I've ever gotten on air, but I reassure you that years ago I dated a supermodel that will remain unnamed, and she had the absolute worst view of what she looked like and who she was, and it is right on the money to exactly as to what you guys are talking about.
So you tell
she genuinely felt insecure about her appearance.
Not only generally, but incredibly insecure about her appearance. And I thought at first it was kind of a joke, but it was really not. It was unreal. She had no security at all.
But Steve, let me ask you this question. Even granting what you're saying is true, she had realized when she kept getting phone calls with people who wanted her to appear in magazine covers that other people thought she was attractive, so that she must be wrong, right? She had to know that.
You know, I don't know if she really knew that, but I can tell you that she had zero self-esteem.
That may be, but honestly, if you think you're hideous, you don't try to be a model. So there's something, she may not believe she deserves it. She may think that there, you know, with lots of makeup and stuff, she looks great, but she's not that way naturally. But she does know that at some point she does look good. She has to, or she would never even have tried to do that job.
Either way, negative self-esteem, regular guy, just like Ralph was saying, no problem. So,
all right. Thank you for the call. Voice of experience there, Steve.
I think you're right in the sense that she knows she has certain things to work with. A woman who, in this case, a model or Megan Fox, she knows she has a certain amount of currency with which to work with, right?
Right.
But I also think that in severe cases, how people look at themselves in terms of what they see in the mirror, how they deal with themselves internally, you can't comprehend it if you're not the person dealing with it.
Yeah.
And I think that there are real cases. Psycho Mike, for example, can't take his shirt off. Okay?
Right.
You know, how many people do you know who are in the physical shape that Mike is?
Very few.
Very few.
And yet he
Very
is
few.
Completely uncomfortable and completely insecure about his physical appearance to the point where he can't remove his shirt in public. The guy's got the best body of anybody we know.
Isn't it
How do
weird,
you wrap
though?
Your mind around that?
Isn't it weird that someone that feels that way about themselves goes out for jobs where they're calling for young, hot lady in a movie? I mean, wouldn't you just go, no, that's not the role for me?
I think she recognizes that there's a marketability, and she's got something that people will employ her for, will buy.
But,
exactly. When she's with herself, when she's looking in the mirror, when she's dealing with herself, I think that's a completely different
issue. She just focuses on the negative.
Yeah.
I think you bring up a good point when you talk about Psycho Mike, and there's no question he's honked up. He's weird. He definitely has some body image problems by not being able to take his shirt off.
No, I know he's right here.
Yeah. But Mike also isn't doing what Megan Fox is doing in this interview, which is to say, no, I don't have a good build. No, I'm not in shape. No, I'm not going to take off my shirt because I'm fat.
That.
He's not doing that, which is kind of, that would be the equivalent of what she was doing on the red carpet last night. That's the difference there, I think. All right, we got some great calls, a lot of different opinions. We're going to take a call. Should a bird swoop down and peck out Megan Fox's eyes because of what she said? That's the question on the table.
Those are only options.
1-800-520-1067. Your calls after this on K-Rock. I never thought that Megan Fox and I would break up, but last night she did something that I'm sorry. It hurt me.
She must be shattered.
Here's a little piece of her. Of her interview on the red carpet for the E! Channel before the Golden Globes last night.
From a hot man to one of the hottest women in the business right now, Megan Fox with me now. Why do you shake your head?
Because I'm pretty sure I'm a doppelganger for Alan Alda.
Oh, get out of here.
I'm a tranny. I'm a man.
You do not look in the mirror and not think you're beautiful. Don't even.
No, I'm so painfully insecure. Like, I'm on the verge of vomiting right now.
Well, if I were that ugly and I had to go out in public and have people point and laugh at me and come after me with fire on a stick to try to run me out of town, I guess I'd feel that way, too.
I'm more heartbroken because she's talking to people from E!
That's why I can't really deal with her anymore. That's much more troublesome.
She deserves better. All right, let's talk to, let's get in a few phone calls before we have to go. Melissa is in Woodland Hills. She's on line 5 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Melissa, thanks for holding on. What do you think about this this Megan Fox situation?
Hi, good morning. Good morning, Kevin. Hi, Bean. Hi, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Hello.
Hi there. Well, first of all, I'd like to say that, you know, I'm a bisexual girl, and Megan Fox is by far the hottest girl out there in Hollywood.
Yes. Nope. She's a tranny. She's a man. She looks like Alan Alda. Just ask her.
Not even close. You know, and, first I'd like to point out, you know, I don't know how you guys would feel if on the red carpet she were to say, yeah, I know I'm hot, I'm pretty sexy, aren't I? You know, it's like, I don't know if that confidence would come across as sexy as maybe a girl who doesn't realize she's as pretty as she is.
But if someone says you look pretty, you don't have to say, yeah, I know I look hot. You can just say, oh, that's really nice of you.
Well,
and it's
course,
great to be here and just change the subject like every other hot chick does. She was the only woman on the red carpet who last night who went into a tirade about her own looks. She was the only one.
If you want to make fun of yourself, then you say, yeah, it took like 8 hours. You know?
Well, of course, you know, but it's also, you know, it's a defense mechanism. And I know a lot of pretty girls and a lot of pretty girls do it. If a guy says, wow, you look really pretty, you know, their first reaction is to be like, oh, no, I don't. You know, my thighs are so huge or whatever it may be. You know, it's definitely a defense mechanism that pretty girls tend to use.
Yeah.
So, you know, I definitely don't hate her for it. I saw the clip and, you know, she made me laugh. But, of course, you know, just like everyone else, I was sitting there like, you know, tranny, yeah, right, you're the hottest girl in Hollywood by far.
All right, thank you, bisexual Melissa. We appreciate it. Let's try Rachel in Glendale, by the way, who claims to have a similar problem in her life. Hi, Rachel. Thanks for holding on. What's going on?
Hi. Well, I've been told a lot that I'm like an attractive person and stuff, but it's like it does not sink in sometimes. And sometimes it's told to you so often that it's like, you know, you don't kind of believe it, does not have the same effect and same power exactly. I don't know. Things like that.
Why would you imagine that it's not true, though, if it's something that you hear all the time? Couldn't you just, at some point, don't you just accept it?
Well, sometimes you just, like, you know, you look and it's, you don't, but when you are told it so often, you put your value on that. And if something, like, you know, if you have a bad hair day or something, like, just a little default and defect, you're like, oh, my God, this sets everything off and my complete value is compromised.
I know Ralph said earlier, and I agree with him, it's a good point, that you can't really put yourself in somebody else's shoes to know what's going on in their mixed-up head. But I'm here to tell you that I don't care what's going on with Megan Fox. There's no way she thinks she's ugly.
Listen, douchebag, have you ever heard a story about women who are anorexic, for example, who are painfully thin, and yet when they look in the mirror...
They see themselves as fat.
They see themselves as fat. Yeah. There is some disconnect between the reality of what's in the mirror and the way they're perceiving it.
Right.
Why couldn't that be potentially the issue with someone like Megan Fox? Who, no matter how many people tell her, no matter how many magazine covers she appears on, she still has some issues with her own appearance.
Kelly in Irvine on line 3 has an answer to that question for you, Ralph. I'm so glad you asked. Kelly, go ahead. You're on the air.
Ramondo and Evans, nice to talk to you.
You as well. What's up?
Hey, I think it's highly possible she could be something like bipolar. I was diagnosed years ago. And you kind of have a self-deprecating. Your friends, you can sit there and calculate, yeah, I do this, I do that, I have this, I have that, I'm real good to my friends. But you still look at yourself and go, I'm worthless, I'm not worth anything. You know, I can't diagnose her, I don't know. But when you look at the facts, it's possible she has, you know, that feeling. You can calculate it, but it doesn't mean, you know, you believe it.
So, in other words, she could have a mental illness. That could be why she sees herself through that carnival mirror or whatever.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, people have that a lot that, you know, my wife, my friends tell me, you know, you're such a good guy, and I would drop anything to help a friend. I try to be a really good friend, but I think it's overcompensating, you know. You feel worthless, so you got to go out of your way to try to help the people, you know, around you, or to look at yourself better, and it never seems to be enough. I know I don't feel like it's ever enough.
Psycho Mike, whatever happened to hot chicks with low self-esteem? Whatever happened to that website you were going to get up and running?
I haven't really done anything with it. I apologize.
All right, let's do one more. Gus in Downey gets the final word. He's on line 1. Hey, Gus, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Go ahead.
What's up? What's up, Kevin and Bean? Lisa May, what does it do, baby? Boo!
What's going on?
Yo, I just wanted to say, I didn't see the interview, but I was listening to you guys. I had to drop my girlfriend off somewhere, and I'm listening to you guys, and I think that Megan Fox is an idiot. I think she might be retarded.
And someone's looking for you.
Dude, the popo disagrees.
5-0, take off.
I was reading in like one of her articles that she's like hillbilly or something, so maybe she might be inbred and she might be retarded in her head. Or she could just have been really sarcastic last night, which I think I'm leaning toward the whole sarcastic thing.
No, I like retarded in her head.
Yeah. Retarded in her head.
That works for me.
All right, we'll stick with that one. Yeah,
all right, so we've given her mental illness and now retarded in her head hillbilly is where we're going to head.
She's crazy like a fox.
Hey! First, though, how about TMZ.com? How about our friend Harvey Levin? Harvey, I kept looking for you on the TV last night. You didn't have a chance to go to the Golden Globes in person, did you?
No, I just watched it on TV.
I thought you'd be there, man. You're a Hollywood mover and shaker. You're a bigger star than most of those people in that room last night, Harvey.
I never go to that stuff. Come on.
Okay. Don't you send your troops out to the red carpet to try to get some good stuff?
We don't do red carpets, dude.
Oh, you're missing out.
Although, I mean, did you love the pre-show where, did you guys see it? You see the pre-show?
No, I didn't watch it.
Oh.
I saw some of it. Yeah, well, what are you talking about particularly?
Dustin Hoffman. I thought it was hilarious that they have these spontaneous conversations, and Dustin Hoffman couldn't hear because everybody was screaming. And so, I forget who it was, but one of the anchors said, okay, well, here are the questions, and handed it to him. And these pre-scripted questions. So he just starts reading the questions and then giving answers and then making up his own questions. It was pretty funny.
That's how it should be done. Get rid of all those annoying red carpet reporters and just have the stars just answer a list of questions.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
That's all we care about.
Great idea.
Yeah, those red carpets are a mess. One of the guys who was there last night that I wanted to talk to you about, Harvey, and I don't think we've, in all the times we've had John, I don't know that we've ever talked about Jeremy Piven and that mystery illness that he had. What's the deal? Tell people what happened with him dropping out of that play because of something called mercury poisoning.
Well, so he's on Broadway, and he's doing a play, and the reviews were not so great. So suddenly, Jeremy Piven drops out of the play. And the reason he gives is because, you know, at least the way the story goes, is that he had a lot of sushi and he got mercury poisoning. Hello?
But his doctor backed him, saying his levels of mercury were dangerously high, right?
You know, where is he going? Does he know Joel Grover? You don't look for C ratings. How do you get mercury poisoning from eating sushi?
Well, I don't know. And if that were the case, wouldn't there be lots of other people who would get it too, that it would have been eating sushi at the same place that he did?
But, I mean, guys, I mean, sushi is at least half rice. Am I right?
Usually, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, I mean, how much sushi do you have to eat to get mercury poisoning so you have to drop out of a play?
Yeah.
It does seem pretty crazy. And there were even people that I read leading up to the Golden Globes that were saying that he sealed the deal that he would not win a Golden Globe for Entourage because of the backlash against him clearly making that story up.
Well, I mean, and look, I mean, I suppose anything is possible, but sushi?
See,
I mean, do you know anybody in L.A. who has ever gotten mercury poisoning from anything like this? Never.
Never. I never heard of it happening
ever.
Before.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah.
But it strikes me as so weird.
And he's in Nobu all the time, so he's eating sushi there.
It strikes me as so weird that it might all have to be true, because what sane person would make up that as an excuse to get out of something? Aren't there better illnesses he could have come up with?
I mean, you're right, but maybe it was the best thing he could think of off the top.
It's mercury poisoning. Yeah, that's the ticket.
It does seem like celebrities shouldn't try to step out of their comfort zone of dehydration and exhaustion,
right,
which is guaranteed.
Go with the standby.
Also new on TMZ.com is another lawsuit involving the Hooters restaurant chain. I feel like we've seen a story just like this before, but what's the new one, Harvey?
No, have you really? Because I haven't seen this story. I have not seen this story. I think it's hilarious. So these guys from, let me just look, I think it's Texas. We just put it up. I believe it's Texas. They are claiming that Hooters is violating the Civil Rights Act that prohibits sexual discrimination by not hiring them as waiters because they're men.
What's the point of that? There are a million restaurants they can go wait at. Don't take our Hooters girls away from us if that's what we want.
There isn't. Henry Adams won Best Miniseries last night, right?
Yes.
John Adams, rather. And it's like, you know, he was so involved in the Constitution. You guys need to have a little more respect for the Constitution. There's no exception. For Hooters, there's just none. And it's like you can make the same argument about women where, they could work for plenty of law firms, so they can't work for this one. So these guys are just standing up for their rights. I mean, do you remember the Southwest Airlines case, like 20 years ago, where there were no men that could be flight attendants. So right. They actually sued and they won.
Right, yeah, and ruined Southwest Airlines,
as a matter of fact, yeah.
Because all the hot chicks don't go there anymore.
Yeah, I knew this was going to be a really sympathetic one for you guys.
But Harvey, if I'm not mistaken, doesn't the Hooters management hire the girls under the premise of they're casting them as entertainers versus hiring them as waitresses?
A very good legal argument.
Thank you, sir.
I mean, look, can I be honest with you?
Yeah.
I don't buy what I'm saying at all here.
Good man.
It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
You're a true lawyer, Harvey, being able to support a side you don't believe in. God bless you.
I'm sure you've done that plenty of times, Euchre. Let's say you're not a lawyer, Harvey. Let's say you're a judge in Texas, and this case comes in front of you. What do you order Hooters to do?
The Texas judge is going to dismiss the case and then go to Hooters.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably
and probably
right.
Shoot the guy
exactly
who filed
right.
It.
Right.
Yes. All right. We're talking to Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. We got one more time for one more story. Just the latest celebrity. And boy, celebrities really are just like us because this is tough economic times for everybody in America. And the latest celebrity who, if I understand correctly from your site, looks like she may actually lose her home is Fantasia, who is a prior American Idol winner. What's going on with her, Harvey?
Well, and she had a pretty decent career, too. I mean, she was on, in fact, she was on Broadway, just like Jeremy Piven. Remember, she was the one who was, she was in the Oprah play, and she
Color
kept,
Purple.
Color Purple. Color Purple, she was in No Show a bunch of times, remember, and she ended up leaving the show as well.
Because she had mercury poisoning.
Right? Right.
She was eating a lot of thermometers.
So she has a house, and it's $1.1 million house, and she was just about ready to lose it. And this company stepped in that had loaned her money to pay her taxes, and they had a lien on the house, and they were going to foreclose on it. It was a $58,000 loan that she couldn't repay. And so they've cut a deal, and the house is safe for now. But she is clearly just totally financially on the ropes, and she won Idol.
Yep, she sure did. And I guess you could just add her to an extremely long list of people who come into a little bit of money, whether they're in the world of sports or the world of entertainment or something like that, and they think, now my gravy train has come in and I'm going to be rich forever, so I'm going to go out and buy whatever I want, whether it's cars or houses or whatever it is. And then the reality shows up and you're in trouble.
And what happens is that they all get told, oh, you're the biggest star ever, you're going to have this huge career, and everybody thinks there's going to always be that tomorrow for them, and they end up spending not thinking about, that there could be a limit to it, and it happens over and over and over again, and it's all these people around them, I think partly, that keep telling them, oh, you're going to be a star for 30 years.
Right.
And it's
by
really
the way,
sad.
More than $1 million house in the small town that she lives in North Carolina has got to be a pretty sweet pad, by the way.
I would think. I mean, it's the same thing I had. I mean, this is basically somebody who comes into a lot of money quick, blows it, and they keep thinking it's just going to keep coming in, and it stops.
Right. Harvey, what are you working on for the website? Anything we should be keeping our eyes peeled for later?
So, who's bigger than Oprah Winfrey at the inauguration?
Fatter? Who's fatter?
No, I didn't. Come on, guys.
Why? You said bigger. What's
no,
I'm saying.
Who's bigger?
Who's bigger?
Nobody. Barack Obama?
Nope. But close. You're really close.
Michelle Obama.
So there's a restaurant in D.C. and they have flat out said to us that if it's a contest between this dude and Oprah, the dude wins, and he ain't on TV.
Huh. Oh, no kidding! Somebody who wants to throw a party? Is it Jay-Z?
Nope. It's not who you think. We're going to put it up on the site soon. But it ain't who you think. I got to have a little bit of a tease, right?
No, that was good.
And then Tom Brokaw. I mean, like, the most lucid guy ever, right?
Yeah.
I think he is. I mean, I love Tom Brokaw.
No, he's a real smart, articulate guy. It's just that we stopped being able to understand what he says because of his speech impediment about 15 years ago.
Well, but we still understood it. And it's not the speech thing. I mean, we got him over the weekend. I don't know what's going on. It's weird. So we're going to put that up very soon.
Oh, I can't wait. An incoherent Tom Brokaw.
that makes me sad only because I love Tom Brokaw.
I got your car out of my face.
Stop it.
He was on last night, and I think he was talking about Frost Nixon. I couldn't understand what he was saying, but that's what the words were on the screen behind him.
I own Nixon.
Is the entertainment website of record, and of course the show airs weeknights at 6:30 on Channel 11. Our friend Harvey Levin has been our guest. Thanks, Harv, for coming on, dude.
Bye, guys.
Hey!
Rocking out! Rocking out!
Doing the galloping horse remix of the Kings of Leon.
I was drumming, man. I was drumming on the console here.
Mr. Drummond.
You got to get the band back together. Got to go to the front page of krock.com to get information on all the new songs that we're playing here on the radio station, including the latest from Kings of Leon, which is an awesome
song. And if your sex is on fire, get yourself to a doctor.
Yep.
Because you need some antibiotics. That's not supposed to work that way.
Happened to me in Nam.
Word.
It's 8:56 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Rob is here for one last look at the showbiz beat. Ralph feeling good today, by the way, after his Eagles big upset over the
Giants. I almost forgot about that. I forgot the Eagles were triumphant over the defending Super Bowl champion New York football Giants yesterday.
So a team that you came in 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago maybe, and said, well, that's it. It was that was a short season. Wow, yeah. Is that over? Now they're one victory away from making it to the Super Bowl.
Hey, don't act all like I was jumping off the bandwagon and I didn't know what I was talking about and I was just abandoning
them too early. I'm just saying that you and a lot of other Eagles fans did not think that this was their year.
It came down to a day where the Chicago Bears had to lose, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers had to lose, and the Raiders had to beat Tampa Bay in order for the Eagles to get into the playoffs.
Which is a miracle.
Who could have imagined that would come to pass?
I know.
And yet here we are.
Now they're doing great.
It's remarkable.
All right. What's going on in the world of showbiz there, Ralphie?
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office, shall we? Gran Torino, in its debut, not really its debut weekend, because it had been released in New York and L.A. before it went wide. But $29 million it made this weekend. Clint Eastwood, he's 110. Yeah. He's still making hit movies. God bless him. Bride Wars came in at number two, $21.5 million. Lisa went. Lisa saw her Bride Wars.
It wasn't terrible.
Oh, stop it.
It wasn't good, but I've seen worse.
So Lisa looked in the paper
and
said,
let me see
what's out there. Valkyrie.
I'm blaming it on my
friend. Gran Torino. What should we go? How about Bride Wars? Yeah, what time's that start?
My friend wanted to see something funny.
And also, you can't say failure to launch was worse. That's not a valid argument. So?
Yeah. Well, I've seen worse. There are worse movies out there.
Jeez, that guy's an a-hole. Yeah, but Hitler was worse. Oh, that's true. I guess he's a good guy now.
My point exactly.
The Unborn was third. Marley and Me dropped to four. The Curious Case of Benjamin Button came in at number five. Then Bedtime Stories, Valkyrie, Yes Man, Not Easily Broken, and 7 Pounds, rounding out your top 10, according to Variety newspaper. Last night was the Golden Globes. And can we retire the that's a pair of Golden Globes joke anytime a woman is seen on the Golden Globes?
Yes.
Can we stop that?
Did that earlier.
I will never let that go.
After 66 years of the Golden Globe Awards, can't we stop saying, that's some Golden Globes right there?
Seems a little
tired. When Kate Winslet won two last night, all I can think is she's got a pair of Golden Globes. That's all that would come to mind.
Yeah. Can we just let that go? Slumdog Millionaire did very well for itself, including Best Motion Picture Drama, taking home that award. Vicky Cristina Barcelona was the winner for the Best Motion Picture Comedy. Mickey Rourke won for Best Actor in a Drama. Kate Winslet did pick up a pair of Golden Globes for her roles in Revolutionary Road and in The Reader. Heath Ledger posthumously won the Best Supporting Actor Award for Dark Knight. WALL-E was the Best Animated Film. A lot of people are touting WALL-E as one of the best movies of the year, by the way.
I have it at home. I haven't watched it yet. I got it on Netflix.
I have not seen it yet either, but I'm looking forward to it.
Me too.
TV, Mad Men won for Best Drama. I was very pleased to see that. You know, I love that TV show. John Adams won for Best Miniseries. Third Rock did very well for itself. Not only did it win Best Comedy, but also Alec Baldwin won for Best Actor in a Comedy, and Tina Fey won for Best Actress in a Comedy. Her acceptance speech was very entertaining. She did what a lot of us would do, I think, given the opportunity and that sort of audience. She talked about how people, not everyone likes her.
Mm-hmm. I want you to know that I really know how very lucky I am to have the year that I've had this year. And if you ever start to feel too good about yourself, they have this thing called the internet. And you can find a lot of people there who don't like you.
She went to... She went off on particular people who had written bad things about her, saying screen names like, Louise and LaCrosse or whatever.
Yep.
And turns out those were actual people who had written bad things about her on the internet.
That's
how great is that?
Taking the opportunity to tell them to suck it,
which I thought
was spectacular. And I was lucky enough to see the East Coast feed of the show last night. And I don't know if anyone had a chance to see it, but you didn't see it in the West Coast version, but you missed Darren Aronofsky, director of The Wrestler, flipping off Mickey Rourke on national television, gave him the finger.
Why?
But in a, no, in a playful
he's
way.
He's being funny.
Playful.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because Darren Aronofsky was the director of The Wrestler, and yes. Mickey Rourke was in it. And he said, he hates it when I say this, Mickey Rourke said when he accepted his award, but he is tough. He is a tough director. He's a tough SOB. And they cut to Aronofsky to get his reaction, and he throws his finger up right in front of his face and was on national television, and I laughed.
They don't usually allow the bird on the TV. By the way, let's add Darren Aronofsky to the growing group of men who are bringing the stash back for 2009, too. He was there with the Rivers Cuomo mustache last night.
Mustache is taking hold. Clooney's rocking one. Brad Pitt apparently has shaved his, though. He wasn't wearing it last night,
yeah. Which disappointed me. Was the least strong, too.
Yeah.
Like, it was kind of like...
Pitt's?
Yeah.
I thought Pitt had a strong stash.
Well, because it's Brad Pitt. Anything, but he was Dungeons and Dragons-esque.
Casey Affleck had the weakest stash of all, by the way, in recent years, I think.
Casey Affleck? Mm. Who's following Casey Affleck?
Was he in the Ocean's 11, 12, and 13 movies?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was.
With a mustache?
He was.
Yeah,
Weeks.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I forgot he had it then. Yeah.
Wait, no, wait! He went down to Mexico in the last one and had a fat stash. It was like a big old handlebar mustache.
It may have been a stick on, though, I think.
Doesn't matter, strong.
No stash in Gone Baby Gone, though, however. Went stashless.
His stash was Gone Baby Gone.
Let's just get out of this, shall
That's
we?
That's a pair of Golden Globes.
Today's celebrity birthdays. That's just like your...
You're killing me, Larry!
Okay. Today's celebrity birthdays. Kirstie Alley's 58, so is Rush Limbaugh. Oliver Platt turns 49. Rob Zombie's 43. Heather Mills, former wife of... Paul McCartney is 41 years old today. And by the way, didn't get in one freaking legless joke today.
I know, what the hell?
I didn't have time.
Very busy show.
Didn't have time. But how many opportunities am I going to get to go up on the Heather Mills and her friends
Can
at her birthday
party?
Can we
save it for the Cinco show this afternoon, maybe?
Maybe.
Make that our pledge?
All right, I'll talk about Heather Mills' birthday party and who came to celebrate with her.
Can't wait.
In the afternoon. Zach from Rage is 39 and Sporty Spice of the Spice Girls turns 35. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Thanks to all of our very special guests on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, including our friend Harvey Levin, TMZ.com. Also, thanks to Art Davey for joining us. He is the creator of X-Arm. I don't have time to explain it, but it's the sport of the future. You can check it out on Ripe TV with their finals, their championship, their whatever they're calling it at Ripe TV this Wednesday.
Championship.
Is it a championship?
Heavyweight X-Arm Championship Wednesday on RipeTV.com.
Don't forget, we'll be back this afternoon between 5 and 6 for Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde. But don't go anywhere because Cat Corbett's got 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music, including the Smashing Pumpkins, also Killers, Chili Peppers, Green Day, and more, straight ahead on K-Rock.
We don't have very many opportunities, Lisa, to talk about our favorite celebrity.
And by celebrity, of course, I mean the Vice President of these United States. Ladies and gentlemen, in his final few days in office, Dick Cheney joins us on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Mr. Vice President.
Me, Cheney.
How you doing, Mr. Vice President?
Good.
Okay. You've been doing quite a few interviews in the waning days of you and President Bush's administration, and it seems like you're kind of answering a lot of questions with people maybe who have had some criticism of your 8 years in office.
Yeah, I'm doing, I guess, what you could call a farewell interviews.
Mm-hmm.
And,
right.
I just think a lot of the criticism that's been brought up against me is unfair.
Well, let me run a couple of those things by you. You can tell me what you thought. You were asked recently about the influence that you had with the president. A lot of people suggest maybe that you were pulling the strings. You were making the presidential-level decisions during the last 8 years, and you are now saying what about that?
Nope.
Is that the case at all?
Nope.
Was it you?
I was just along for the ride. It was all Bush.
Huh.
But
everything was Bush. All the stuff that happened, Bush.
You agreed with the president, though. You were certainly one of his staunchest supporters out there over the last 8 years, right?
I never even met the man.
he's your president.
I just recognized him from television. I wasn't even in Washington, D.C. at the time.
Really?
I was living in Baltimore.
I don't think that's true. I think that's the type of thing that could be easily researched and found to be untrue, Mr. Vice President.
So?
You, in the latest round of exit interviews, you have also defended waterboarding and other harsh interrogation techniques for suspected terrorists and also domestic surveillance programs. You think those were all good things for America the last 8 years?
Yeah. I mean, if you wanted to take a terrorist, take him to the beach, give him a waterboard, and watch him, enjoy the waves, I think it's a great way to get them to talk about what they know.
I don't, that doesn't sound, that's not my definition.
I'm taking boogie board.
Yeah.
It's very different.
The water board's where you drown a guy.
That's right, yes.
Okay, yeah, that's the one I like.
But you're down with that. That's good, though, right?
So?
Okay. And the one that I think that has really caused the most surprise among people is that you believe you've been unfairly maligned and you're actually not the cranky f*** that most people think you are. You're actually quite lovable, to use your term.
I am lovable. Who could not love me?
I mean, really?
Remember that guy I took hunting?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do remember that.
He came back alive, didn't he?
Yeah.
Well, lovable. If I had been a mean guy, he'd be dead.
But I think people look, I mean, maybe you don't give you credit for that. That was an accident. But I mean, you come out and you don't want your gay daughter to be able to get married. And you've said a lot of things that people have thought, wow, Dick Cheney, that guy, he's pretty cranky.
He's a dick.
A lot of people love me. Shareholders of Halliburton. Oh, they love me.
Can't argue that.
Yeah. The Iraqi people. All right, maybe not that. But,
okay.
My wife loves me.
Does she?
She tells you that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's just because I have a big
Oh, Mr. Vice President. What have you done? Can you give us any examples of you being lovable, something that maybe didn't make the press? We have not been able to use that to form
absolutely.
Our opinion of you. Okay.
Just recently, there was a knock on my door, mm-hmm. and when mm-hmm. I opened it up, I found a basket of puppies.
Okay.
On my front doorstep.
Very sweet.
And apparently someone thought they could not raise the puppies, and so they left them to us to raise.
Okay, and you have how many dogs now?
About a half a dozen puppies in a basket.
Wow.
Oh, that's great.
I only ate five of them.
Oh. What songs with the hey, hey, hey going on these days, it seems like?
I love that song. I guess you want to put on a little hat, a pork pie hat and some glasses and do the madness walk.
It does. You're right about that. That's the band Vampire Weekend, and the whole album is great and worth picking up or downloading. It's the Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde for a Monday afternoon. Ralph, I know you're going to be covering the big winners in the Golden Globe ceremony last night in just a few minutes, but do we have some time for some highlights from the stage?
Sure.
It was a very entertaining program last night. What?
Nothing. Just, I thought you were coughing up a lung there or something.
It didn't need to be 20 hours or however long it was, but they do cover
a lot of
ground.
Mere 3 hours.
They got a lot of stars and a lot of awards to give out, but at least they don't have a bunch of bogus like cinematography and editing awards. I will give them credit for doing that.
Sure. It's all stars, and it moves pretty quickly. They go from award to award to award pretty much.
Because there's no host to slow down.
And there's no song and dance numbers, and there's no interpretive dance or
all
any that
stuff
crap.
We hate.
Exactly.
Mickey Rourke, of course, has got to feel pretty good waking up today because he was one of the big winners. I mean, this is a guy who was a big-time movie star when? About 20 years ago? Maybe a little more?
Maybe a little more, yeah.
And, has basically been off the radar until Darren Aronofsky brought him back for his film called The Wrestler. Here's a little bit of his unusual acceptance speech last night when he picked up his Golden Globe.
Wow. There's been a very long road back for me, and I'm not a really good public speaker. I was kind of hoping Robert Downey would come up here and talk for me a little bit. Like to thank all my dogs. Okay, now,
I've been watching award shows for a long time. I don't think I've ever seen anyone ever thank his dogs in a speech before.
That's all he's got, man.
The ones that are here, the ones that aren't here anymore, because sometimes when a man's alone, that's all you got is your dog, and they meant the world to me, and I want to thank Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, yeah, after my dog, by the way. How about Bruce Springsteen?
Dogs, I want to thank my mailman.
Bruce wasn't there when he was alone.
No, but think about it. If you're Mickey Rourke, between 1989 and 1990, or 2007, there probably was a lot of really rough nights where those were his best friends.
Yeah.
Oh, what's he doing with the dogs?
Peanut butter.
Right?
Oh,
wow.
No.
He went from their pets to their girlfriends. I don't like the direction of that. Bruce Springsteen, by the way, was in the audience, and I did read on the LA Times review of the Golden Globes that he had the longest line of stars around his table waiting to meet the boss. Because, they run in the circles where they see other actors all the time. How often do they get a chance to talk to Mr. Springsteen, right?
Right.
Sure. So everybody wanted to hang out with him. And Bruce, of course, also won a Golden Globe last night for the song that he wrote for the movie The Wrestler.
This is the only time I'm going to be in competition with Clint Eastwood. I know that for sure. Felt pretty good, too.
Bruce, who's very cool, has always had the dorkiest laugh in the world. And as he was saying that, they showed Clint Eastwood in the audience, and it looked like Clint was going out to the Gran Torino to get a rifle to take care of Bruce.
I know. He looked really pissed. A smile, but
I don't
barely.
Find you funny, hippie.
Now, it didn't look like he was taking it in the spirit which Bruce intended it, did it? Lisa?
I remember the first time I ever saw a Clint Eastwood movie. I was 10 years old.
We don't have time, Bruce. I'm sorry. We don't have time for that story. One of the great presenters last night, who's always funny, was not up for an award but was presenting one, was Don Cheadle last night. He's actually introducing the Coen Brothers Burn After Reading movie, which was up for a couple of Golden Globes. And he had a very funny bit from the stage.
The Coen Brothers, who incidentally have never hired me, never put me in a movie, even movies that I would have crushed Fargo. I would have crushed it. Macy was fine, but I would have crushed it. The Coen Brothers are at it again, writing and directing an original comic masterpiece that focuses on very ordinary and very dumb people. Brad Pitt.
He's one of the guys who always piles on Brad Pitt from the Ocean's 11 movies. It's very funny. Ricky Gervais last night, always great, always fantastic. He was given a speech and went something like this.
I can't believe I'm not nominated. I'm at the Hollywood Foreign Press. They're all over me. Oh, we love Ghost Town. Not enough, obviously. Brilliant. What a waste of a campaign. That is the last time I have sex with 200 middle-aged journalists. It was horrible. A lot of them didn't even speak English. Europeans with wispy beards. The men were worse. Come on.
Talking about some of the funny stuff at the Golden Globes last night, Tracy Morgan got up when 30 Rock won one of its many awards last night, and I can't tell whether he really is like this, because to me it looked like he's playing the character Tracy Morgan that he plays on the 30 Rock TV show. I don't know what's real and what's fake with this guy, but check him out.
Tina Fey and I had an agreement that if Barack Obama won, I would speak for the show from now on. Welcome to post-racial America. I'm the face of post-racial America. Deal with it, Kate Blanchett.
Now, why Kate Blanchett, do you think?
I think it was the first face he saw in the audience. First crowd. He just looked down, and she was there. And
she's really pale.
She just, boom, she got targeted.
Hey, that's it.
We like to thank the Hollywood Foreign Press, especially me, because a black man can't get no love at the Emmys. I love you, Europe.
It is a crowd that's there to have a good time. I think they have an open bar, and they have table seating, and people wander around and drink, and progressively as the night gets later, they get drunker. Mm-hmm. And they usually have a pretty good sense of humor with comedy from the stage. I think it dried up a little bit right before Borat got up.
Oh, yeah.
Sacha Baron Cohen, who's one of the funniest guys in the world, he's got the Bruno movie coming out this year. He did a chunk, and you'll hear some uncomfortableness in addition to the applause after some of his remarks.
It is said in times of economic hardship that people flock to the cinemas to watch mindless, puerile, escapist nonsense, which is great news because I've got a movie coming out. But this recession is affecting everyone, even celebrities. Victoria Beckham hasn't eaten for 3 weeks. Charlie Sheen has been forced to have sex without paying for it.
You hear some of the people starting to turn on him. I think people are looking around going, you know, Charlie Sheen might be here. Hold on, let's check before we know. And then just one joke too many.
And even Madonna has had to get rid of one of her personal assistants. Our thoughts go out to you, Guy Ritchie.
Very funny.
Awesome. I can't believe it didn't get a bigger laugh, because usually those people are pretty good at laughing at their own, but they would have none of it last night.
It was very funny. Ralph has a complete recap of the big winners from last night's Golden Globes and all the other showbiz beat news when we return right after this on the world famous K-Rock. Appreciate your enthusiasm, but not every song is "Hey Mickey, you're so fine, you're so fine, you blow my mind." Hey Mickey, what's with the double claps?
Hey Dr. Buzzkill, why don't you just stand down, sailor, soldier,
just
sailor, soldier.
That's all that's going on here.
Tinker, Indian chief.
Ralph has been in a very good mood since something happened at Giant Stadium yesterday. I can't explain it.
They found Jimmy Hoffa. Well, in the end zone.
Yep. Something even less likely, the Eagles are
The Giants couldn't find anything
Super Bowl.
In the end zone. Oh, hey,
It's Monday afternoon. Kevin and Bean, Cinco de la Tarde. Kevin, if you happen to be listening because you're awake in a cold sweat, get better. We'll hopefully see you out here tomorrow. In the meantime, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a new day. What's going on, Ralph?
Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. We look at them as we do every Monday. Gran Torino. $29 million for Clint Eastwood and his wrinkly old ass. How about that? Bride Wars, number two. The Unborn, horror movie starring our friend Odette Justman. Celebrates a third-place victory. Marley and Me was number four. The Curious Case of Benjamin Button was number five. Then Bedtime Stories, Valkyrie, Yes Man, Not Easily Broken, and 7 Pounds, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend, according to Variety. Golden Globes were last night. The big winners had to be Slumdog Millionaire, which took top honors at the movie awards. John Adams, the miniseries, also did very well for itself. 30 Rock swept with Best Comedy, Best Actor, and Best Actress in a Comedy. Kate Winslet also did very well for herself, winning both Best Actress and Best Supporting Actress awards for the films Revolutionary Road and The Reader. Heath Ledger won for Dark Knight, Best Supporting Actor in a Motion
Didn't
Picture.
Didn't bother showing up, by the way, which I think shows a real lack of gratitude, if you'll mind me. Man. I mean, you're going to be honored. I mean, at least if you're nominated, at least show up in case you win. It's just rude.
And Sally Hawkins. Oh, it was great to see her finally win a big award after her.
With that body of work that she's had.
I never get tired of. If I see Sally Hawkins on a marquee, I know I'm going to see that movie.
She's married to Steven.
Oh, yeah, exactly. He was there. Congratulations, Sally. I'm so proud of you.
I think she starred in this happy-go-lucky that the critics seem to be enamored with, Ralph.
Yeah,
I think that's
never heard of it.
About here.
Don't know who she is, but yeah. She did talk for about 20 minutes in her acceptance speech.
She sure was falling apart.
And I had an ass full of her already. I was done. Lindsay Lohan apparently is denying that she's split up from Samantha Ronson, but insiders say they're totally over. Finished. Gonzo. Dunzo. New York Post says that she's been seen spending some time with Sean Penn recently.
Sean Penn and his wife?
No, just Sean Penn.
Just Sean Penn. Interesting, yeah. Okay.
Guess milk does a body good. Oh! Hey! Ivan!
You can't say that on the radio, Larry!
I just did. Prince is a big stinking thief.
Why?
How about him? How about him being a thief?
What are you talking about? What do you mean?
A court in Italy has ruled that he stole his song, The Most Beautiful Girl in the World, from a couple Italian songwriters.
Nope.com.
The Court of Appeal in Rome says his 1994 hit, remember that song? You must be the most beautiful girl in the world.
Yeah.
Was plagiarized by a song called Take Me to Paradise. Written in 1983 by two Italian guys.
I'm going to say unlikely that Prince really needs to steal songs from anybody. He's got about 50 hits on his own.
I agree, but the Italian court says he has to stop all sales of the song in Italy and may have to pay the two writers all the royalties he's collected so far on that song.
Wow.
Damn.
It's a major legal loss for Prince.
I believe he wrote that song for Vanessa Marsil, the actress.
After he heard Take Me to Paradise by the two Italian guys. Take me to paradise.
That's how it goes?
Yeah. Sounds exactly like it.
In Italian?
Let's talk about today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Kirstie Alley.
Fat.
She's huge. Have you seen her lately? Oh, man. She has just blown up.
Yeah.
Since her Jenny Craig days. She's 58 years old today. As is Rush Limbaugh.
Fat.
Radio personality Rush Limbaugh, also 58 years old today. Other people.
You can keep looking. I don't think they're there.
Other people.
He's gone through this Oliver Platt
celebrates his birthday today.
That's right.
Can currently be seen in Frost Nixon, where he's
excellent, by the way. That's right.
Excellent in that. Who
else was there? Zach De La Roca celebrates a birthday today from Rage Against the Machine. Sporty Spice. Right. Melanie Chisholm from Spice Girls celebrates her birthday today. I don't have the list anywhere with me. Oh, I forgot. Heather Mills.
Yes.
The ex-wife of Paul McCartney celebrates her 41st birthday today, if
I'm
not mistaken.
Did she have a party?
And she had a big party over the weekend, apparently, there in the UK, in London, one of her London homes. She invited all of her model friends over. She's got a, you know, of course, Heather Mills has one leg. And a lot of her friends are also disabled models.
Sure. Oh, really?
Yeah, she's got one friend, an Asian model with one leg named Irene. There's a friend of hers with no arm and no leg that she found in a hole named Doug.
Why was he in a hole?
Because there were some holes on her property during the party.
There's a girl named Doug.
He was in the hole, Doug was, with another guy with no arms and no legs. Yeah, named Phil.
Why do so many of her friends have limbs missing, Ralph?
Because they have a support group, Bean, and they all are there for each other. And I think it's great. Like their friend with no arms and no legs they found in a pile of leaves. Russell.
Who put him in the leaves?
Apparently it was a big barbecue for her birthday, too. Yeah. There was a couple there attending the barbecue. They had no arms and no legs, and they were actually on the barbecue.
Uh-huh.
Frank and Patty.
Wait, both of them? They're a couple, and neither one of them has arms or legs?
Yes, and they're not very good at barbecuing.
I guess not.
Because they ended up on the grill.
You know, they don't have any arms, any legs, but it seems like people aren't cutting them any slack. They're bringing them on barbecues and in holes.
Talk about not cut any slack. There was a guy with no arms and no legs at the party, but they actually mounted on the wall.
What? Oh.
Named Art.
Oh, poor Art.
His friend was lying in front of the door. He had no arms and no legs. People were stepping on him to get through the door. His name was Matt.
So
not a good party.
Like a party.
This is a bad party. I would not want to go to this party.
No, Normandy.
Yeah, I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Maybe next year for number 42, we can be invited. Thanks a lot for listening to Secret of the
1944.
Funny.
Normandy.
Speaking of limbless bodies everywhere.
We will be back with an all-new Kevin and Bean show tomorrow, including our exclusive heart-hitting interview with Gugu the Killer Panda. That's what you can look forward to tomorrow.
Oh, we're out
also,
already.
Ralph,
it's January. We're out.
It's a very, very sad day, but apparently the end of Let's Paint TV is at hand.
No, God, no.
And who's our friend? Who's the host of Let's Paint TV?
Mr. John Kilduff.
Yeah. He, of course, is the guy who wears a three-piece suit and runs on a treadmill and makes blended drinks and takes phone calls and tells you how to do stuff.
And paints, doesn't he?
And paints? Well, he does it. Yeah, Let's Paint TV. Apparently, we got to find out what the future of that program is. Also on the show tomorrow, very excited, Sarah Chalk from Scrubs is going to be here, which is back on the air on ABC. And here's the Ask you have been demanding. We've done a lot of these where you get to call up and talk to professionals about their line of work. Tomorrow, you get to ask a stripper, ladies and gentlemen.
Ooh, nice.
Stripper on the show tomorrow. That'll be in the 8 o'clock hour, so you definitely want to come on back. But don't go anywhere. 60 minutes nonstop commercial-free music with our friend Nicole Alvarez coming up next year on the world-famous K-Rock. She is going to be playing the Papa Roach, also Kings of Leon, Linkin Park, Sponge, Chili Peppers, and more right after this on K-Rock.